I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Wednesday, the Steve Cochran Show for midweek as we get going on this
first day of spring.
Today's, is it really?
Yes.
Is it?
It is.
Okay, it doesn't feel like it.
Bring it on.
I think it's going to be nice later, isn't it?
No, March 20th.
I thought it was supposed to rain today. That's all I was hearing last 24 hours.
It rains in the spring.
Spring begins April at 4:58 p.m. today.
Okay, you're too soon, Mary. It's not spring yet.
Come on. Spring enough.
Dave Ennett here, Mary Sandberg Boyle. You heard Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. You heard Mary Vandeveld in Traffic Central. And we have a busy morning plan, including the top six at six coming up. Karen Conti later this hour. We've got our MVPP. We've got the Sandwich King in studio this morning. That's why you're so excited.
He's not bringing sandwiches, though.
Oh, what?
I know. He's talking about sauce.
But how does the Sandwich King make an appearance without sandwiches?
I know, right. I know, Steve. I'm sorry.
You can't wear that crown without walking around with sandwiches.
Yeah. I like thinking of like a utility belt with sandwiches attached to it across the waist, you know, fire
what would
off.
You like?
Yeah.
Tuna.
By the way, speaking of food, I apologize. I was still cleaning up the elevator.
What?
What happened?
You don't know the story.
What? No.
I didn't tell anybody.
Yesterday, we had the goodbye party for Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there was pizza.
Right.
Pizza and cupcakes.
And you know my rule, how I never take leftovers? So I decided, you know what? I didn't even have lunch. I'm going to take a couple of slices of pizza. So I've got a folder that
I'm
carrying.
And they were Lou Malnati's deep dish.
Yeah, heavy.
Yeah, heavy
so
pizza.
So good.
Yeah.
And I prefer the thin. But nobody asked.
Nobody asked you.
So I've got the two slices of the pizza on, you know, the plate. And I put another plate over the top of it. And that's on top of a folder.
Oh,
so
boy.
I get into the elevator. And, you know, as I hit the lobby, somebody on 14 happens to need the elevator as well. Very selfish of him. And the elevator doors open. And just as the elevator doors open, the folder collapses. And the pizza flies against the door.
Oh. You monster.
We can't have nice things.
How could you do this?
We had a pizza incident. I mean, it looked like a crime scene.
I believe we can call that a pizza tragedy.
There was sauce everywhere.
You didn't hit the guy, did you?
No, he was actually very nice about it. He held the door open while I picked up what I could by hand.
Did it fall through like
in the
little
grate?
Crack?
Yeah.
It was everywhere. It was a pizza apocalypse.
That's not good pizza to drop because it's, you know, there's a lot going on.
A lot of ingredients.
Yeah.
A lot of ingredients.
Was it salvageable?
Pizza.
Was it? No, it was not salvageable. But here's the thing. In case you ever have an incident in an elevator like this or in case you commit a murder, it's very difficult because you can't stop the elevator to clean it up.
Yeah.
So we get to the bottom of the lobby. The guy gets out. I take the elevator back up to the top because I got to get some paper towels to clean up, right?
And some more pizza.
Yeah, I'd given up on that thought. So I go in. I grab a stack of paper towels. I come out, and I'm playing elevator lottery. I'm going, come on, elevator.
You got to wait for your elevator.
I want to wait for my elevator to come up so I can clean it up. And I know when it opens, the door opens, there's going to be a ton of people in there.
Yeah, that are mad.
So I stand there, and I wait three cars. There's only five elevator cars. I hit the elevator button three different times waiting for the elevator to come up. Doesn't happen. All right, I've given up now. So I go down to the lobby, and I go to the security guy. And I took it like a man. I looked the guy in the eye, and I said, somebody dropped some pizza in an elevator car there, and it's really kind of a mess. And I apologize, but yeah, I thought you guys should know. And the situation here is such that you walk around, it's probably 100 yards, you walk around the building to get to the parking garage elevator, but it's all glassed in.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, three different times I try to get that elevator car to clean it up. And by the way, I had to ditch the stack of paper towels before I told the security guy there was a mess in the elevator. So I get to the parking garage elevator, and I look through the glass, that elevator door opens up and there's people going, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, look at this mess.
And then they're stepping in it.
Who would have left this?
What kind of pizza was it? It wasn't like the veggie pizza, because that would even look maybe worse.
Yeah, it would look worse.
Smelled worse.
No, it was a good American sausage pizza.
And stuff. Yeah. See, I would argue that that would be better because that's the lower quality pizza. You know, like if you drop something good like pepperoni, yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah, but
you
know, the onions and the smell.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yikes.
But the splatter pattern
yeah.
on the door was unbelievable.
Did it look like blood?
It looked like a murder.
Mary Sandberg, can you imagine this happening in your living room, like on your couch?
Oh my God, I would be so angry.
She wouldn't come to work.
I know. That would be, I'd have to probably be admitted to the hospital. And Steve had told me about this, and I thought about how I was getting frustrated when he told me the anxiety was building about the mess. And then,
though it had nothing to do with you, you were still tense.
I wasn't even there. But if I got into an elevator that smelled like pizza, I hate that food smell carries around in
general.
You
know, it wasn't actually there long enough to smell. You know me. I never carry food anywhere.
I know. That's
food is consumed at the restaurant you go to, and then you go home.
Well, now we know why. Because right. you put it on a folder.
He's not physically capable of carrying it. Yeah. The balancing act, we should try to recreate.
No, see, I have a different theory. I believe God didn't want me to have the pizza.
Okay. You have not been eating pizza too.
No,
you
kind of lost a bunch of weight, yeah. You know, eating right, and God goes, hey, dummy, you're not eating pizza. Yeah.
God would never do that to Lou Malnati's pizza.
Well, that's
that
fair.
Never
yeah.
happened.
That's fair.
It was good pizza.
But the pizza did fly for no reason. I mean, it flew. It was like shot out of a pizza cannon.
Well, if you think about it, a paper plate is kind of like one of those saucer sleds. It's aerodynamic for taking off, you know, so if you, the folder.
But weren't they the ozone layer killing foam? Ish plates. I don't think they were paper plates.
Oh.
So the point being, when the thing collapsed, that's when the pizza was catapulted against the door.
Yeah.
I tell you, we're lucky to be alive. So if you work in this building, and there's a lot of people who listen because they're nice enough to say hi every day, 303 East Wacker, and you were victimized by the pizza-covered elevator yesterday, I would just like to apologize for John Williams dropping that pizza. And John should not have done that. Helpful texters are chiming in. 847, did the building call in CSI Deep Dish to investigate? 312, Steve, how could you murder a Lou's pizza? Remember my family's rule. Aluminum foil!
There was aluminum foil in the dining room.
Was there?
During the party. Yeah, because I think, Joe, didn't you take some pizza in aluminum foil?
I did not, no.
Well, someone did. Someone was, when I was leaving, was wrapping pizza in foil.
I know you were going to, Dave.
No, I wasn't going to, but I saw other people doing it.
We determined off the air, I think, the rule here, and that's the guy on 14. If he hadn't been so rude as to call the elevator, the doors wouldn't have opened and I wouldn't have stepped to one side. And therefore, the pizza wouldn't have jumped off the plate and splattered against the door, causing the incident.
Do you mind if I leave the show right now and find this guy in 14? Is that okay?
I think it's perfectly appropriate. No, he's a very nice guy. You know, he could have went, oh, God, what are you doing, man? Of course, he didn't help me pick it up. You ever try to pick up pizza sauce by hand?
No, that seems horrible.
Okay, if the tables were turned and he dropped the pizza, would you have helped him pick up the pizza?
I would have done what all Americans would do at that point. I would have looked the other way and pretended I never saw it.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't have helped him pick it up. I would have held the door. I would have done exactly what he did.
I would have stepped off the elevator and got on a different one.
You know, the thoughts do go through your head. You go, okay, maybe I just like leave and pretend none of this happened. Leave it for someone else to find.
Are you a good cleaner-upper?
I don't know. I never do it.
Yeah. It's hard for me to imagine you actually doing that.
But I did wait to try to get the elevator back in elevator roulette.
Yes.
Waiting for the proper car to come up so I could clean it up.
I think that's a new game show.
Yeah. Come on, elevator. And then I was trying to describe. I go to the security desk. I'm trying to describe which elevator it is. Guy goes, which elevator is it? Well, they're not numbered. It's the one with two on the side, and it's the one closest to the other side. Which side? The one over there.
Yeah, they should be numbered, or at least A, B, C, D, E or something. I think they probably are numbered. We just don't know it.
I looked on the side, and I saw they all are 18. Oh. And then I realized it was the 18th floor. It's Final Countdown. Walter E. Smith, Buy More, Save More sale. We've been talking about the sale that ends March 31st. So when spring cleanup turns into more of a spring clean out, head to Smith because, in fact, the more you buy, the more you save. Whether you're filling an entire home with new furniture or just picking up a couple stylish pieces as storage for all the stuff you found during your cleanup, Smith has you covered. And as March winds down and spring approaches, take a look at your patio and tell me you don't need Walter E. Smith, because I say you do. Your outdoor spaces can be just as beautiful. Your sectionals, your sofas, your chairs, chaises, the ever-popular Adirondack chairs. Get yourself to Smith to get started. They're ready for you. The Buy More, Save More sale ends March 31st. Learn more at smith.com, S-M-I-T-H-E.com, or head into any of the 10 Chicago-area Walter E. Smith showrooms.
Every game counts. Two teams fighting for a ticket to the postseason. Trade shots as Taves and the Hawks host Philly Thursday at 7 on WGN-TV Sports.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Now, the floor 14 guy's on the phone. Is this floor 14 guy? Floor 14 guy, are you there?
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Hi, floor 14 guy.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Cochran. Can I tell my side of the story from completely different than your side of the story?
All right, what did you see?
Well, you forgot to mention the soda pop, the tea, your briefcase, everything that was all over, not the floor, the side, the buttons.
Right, it was a mess.
It was a disaster happening. I went to reach for the phone. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get to that because of the sauce. And
what about the part where you stepped in and you slipped and you nearly broke your neck? Hmm? Yeah, that too. You risked your life for me.
Well, I think this should be in the top 6 at 6 also,
well,
this
just
report.
It just made it. As a matter of fact, it just made it right now.
Now, I think you need more plugs for the pizza so I can get my gift. I'll send you the drive.
Hey, you know what? This is a good idea.
A gift certificate.
No, it's a good idea. Oscar gets a Lou Malnati's pizza. The floor 14 guy.
There you go.
There was no tea. There was no briefcase.
Yeah. You do drink Diet Coke, though, so that sounded like it could have been.
I hadn't opened it yet. It was in my hand.
Okay.
Are you still giving him a pizza?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't carry a briefcase.
No, I don't carry.
You know
a
what? Once a month, he brings in an empty briefcase.
Just your fanny pack.
I don't know what he does with it, but
I haven't brought in an empty briefcase in a long time. It's only when I'm laundering money.
It's your tax season briefcase.
With 2 weeks to go before the April 2nd runoff election for mayor, Preckwinkle's mayoral campaign has stopped airing TV commercials. Strange move. Raises question about the viability of her campaign in the race's closing days, as Lori Lightfoot has had an incredible run-up early in a race that Preckwinkle, a lot of folks thought, was supposed to win. Next. Supreme Court rejected prosecutors' bid to resentence Jason Van Dyke for the murder of Laquan McDonald. It was a bit of a lark to begin with, but the judge said no yesterday. Next.
Quack.
The Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao, on Tuesday ordered an inquiry into how FAA certified the Boeing 737 MAX 8 for flight. Did you guys hear that the Ethiopian flight day before
the Lion Air flight,
a pilot who was deadheading on the plane had to save the plane when it was going through the same crash motions because he knew how to handle it.
The exact plane.
The exact plane, the exact problem the next day that took the plane down.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's wild.
Next. Moves by the Fed prompted optimism in the market. Stocks have been soaring more than 15% since Jerome Powell announced in January that the central bank would be patient in its push to increase interest rates. Fed could add more fuel to the fire today when the central bank is expected to leave interest rates unchanged and say it's in no hurry to raise them. So, you know, bye, bye, bye. Next.
Pizza, pizza.
After tickets went on sale yesterday, Lollapalooza teamed up with Paw Chicago to reveal some of the acts lined up for the annual music marathon, Grant Park, August 1st through the 4th. And by the way, my grandson is scheduled to be born on August 2nd. Oh. I believe that'll happen at Lollapalooza.
There you go.
Lollapalooza?
Oh, you know Lauren. She's all about the Lollapalooza.
You're going to have the traffic's going to be bad coming in to see that kid.
YouTube live stream will feature 8 adorable puppies up for adoption.
Oh, they already did it? Yeah, when they were doing some of the acts, you could watch, and they had these dogs walking around in piles of Lollapalooza tickets and balls.
I thought they were doing it at Lollapalooza.
No, they did. You could adopt the dogs.
I hope it happened. Artists including pop shapeshifter Janelle Monáe. I love Janelle Monáe.
Yeah. I do like her. She's
great.
Awesome.
She's a great actress, too. Rapper Lil Wayne and Australian band Tame Impala.
So, Tame Impala, which made me laugh, because didn't you used to drive an Impala?
I did. Chevy Impala.
Was it Tame?
That was the Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all revealed as part of the four-day festival's lineup, and, of course, look forward to this fall when, once again, we feature America's favorite game show, band, Lollapalooza band, or not a band at all.
It's the best.
Coming this summer. One more.
Pizza, pizza.
Charles Tillman is afraid of water, but that won't stop him from rowing across Lake Michigan for childhood cancer research. The former Bear and marketing executive Jacob Beckley are also using their Row for Kids trek in August to raise money for pediatric cancer research and to financially benefit and support families of child cancer patients. Tillman's Cornerstone Foundation teaming up with the Beckley Foundation for the event. I didn't know Charles was afraid of water.
So he's afraid of water.
Does he not swim?
He also, Shark Week, yeah, no, Shark Week scared him because he didn't know sharks could live in fresh water. So he's building the boat himself, and then he's going to row. And he says if it's his time to go, it's his time, but he's hoping he doesn't die.
Well, between now and then, he needs to learn how to swim.
Yeah, his wife said he's crazy, but he did admit he has a screw loose.
They're going to go from St. Joseph, Michigan to come back to the city.
Wow. Is that the safer track, Dave?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I guess. I mean,
would it help if I was standing on the shore going, "The legend lives on from the Chippewa"?
I don't think that would help.
So I wonder. He's building the boat. Like, I wonder if he's going to watch a YouTube video or if he's got a kit.
Yeah.
Like,
why doesn't he just get one from the best boat builder he knows?
I would. Sure.
He said it was $80,000 to buy a boat.
Oh.
And they're donating all of the cost. I mean, they're covering the cost of building
the
boat.
He's Charles Tillman. I'm quite sure he could get someone to lend him a boat. Well,
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, borrow a boat.
And by the way, borrow a captain.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And borrow a life jacket, too.
As a matter of fact, don't even go.
He's not going to be alone, is he?
No,
this other PR dude.
Oh, yeah.
But
that makes
there
me
are,
feel better.
To my knowledge, are there sharks in Lake Michigan?
The legend lives on from the Chippewa and down. We don't know. It's their house.
Oh, there's Asian carp, though. You got to watch out for them.
Oh, yeah. They'll jump out and get you. 6:31. We're back with the headlines in a moment. Karen Conti on the law coming up. 7:20 WGN.
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
The line is, "England is my city." I was going to ask if you knew that was from, but I knew you would never know what that was from.
Oh, I don't know what England. If you would have said, "England is my city," I would say, "Why did I pay all this money for your education?"
We're going to leave it at that.
Please rise for the non-session.
Oh, my gosh, it's so funny. I didn't think we paid $500,000 and I committed a felony. That's a clip from a video of Aunt Becky and her daughter, Olivia Jade. Let's go to Karen Conti. Hey, Karen Conti, how are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. Hey, Karen, this potential resentencing of Van Dyke and the Laquan McDonald murder, you said that's very unlikely, and yesterday the judge said it's not going to happen. No surprise?
No surprise. The Supreme Court generally doesn't get involved in appeals by the prosecution. As you know, we have double jeopardy, so prosecutors who lose cases really can't appeal because they couldn't be tried again anyway. In this case, the prosecution won, but they just thought that the sentence was unfair, and they asked the higher court to issue a ruling that would say, all right, judge, do it the right way, sentence him to a higher number of years. And the Supreme Court just declined to do that and said they weren't. So there was some dissent that said, yeah, the judge probably erred and should have given him a higher sentence, but the prevailing view was that the Supreme Court was going to stay out of it.
Did they stay out of it because he's an officer?
No, I can't speak to them, but my guess is that they believed that the way that Van Dyke was sentenced was proper and that the judge had the discretion to do so. Or maybe the Supreme Court just thinks we're not going to get involved in sentencing decisions, because if we do, we're the high court. We get to choose what cases we review, and we only choose the ones that maybe have something to add to the mix. And, you know, not that this was a big case. This was a big high publicity case. But it was a garden variety case as far as legal issues. So that would be my guess. They were just going to stay out of it.
So even if the members of the court believe the sentence personally was light, they're still not going to make a judicial decision that's against protocol and what they think they should do.
Exactly. That's what I think.
Okay. This college admission scam, where are we legally on this? Well, I guess the first question is the two most famous names in it, the two actresses involved, are they going to jail?
You know what? I think they are. I mean, all the talk around town is these people aren't going to jail. They're celebrities. They're rich. Most people don't go to jail. I think the prosecutors here are going to make a big deal out of this. And prosecutors can use their office to basically set a precedent. And this was so shocking to people. It's not shocking to some people, but I mean, I was shocked at the magnitude of all of this. And I think that they are going to make an example of all of the parents here, not just the celebrity ones, but all the ones who paid money and all the people who were involved in this. And I think we're going to see a lot of people going to jail here.
You look like a 30-day, don't ever try this kind of sentence, that kind of thing?
I'm not quite sure. A lot of these will be tied to the amount of money involved because we have our sentencing guidelines that tie these kinds of crimes to the dollar amount. So, you know, I could see some of these people doing a year in prison and maybe upwards. The ones who are taking the tests and the college administrators who are taking the millions, I could see them doing much more time than that, maybe 2 or 3 years.
The latitude of the prosecutors is interesting to me because you know, if you have no priors, generally that means you can have an attorney help you out and get away with the community service and probation and all things like that. But the prosecutor in this case, even with no priors, could still throw the book at him.
Yes, and you're right. That's a big factor in sentencing, whether you're in federal court or state court. You know, we had the same kind of discussion on the Jussie Smollett case. Generally speaking, when someone gets charged with disorderly conduct, which is what those charges are against him, even though that's lying to a police officer, we call that in our state courts disorderly conduct for some reason. Most of those cases go away and someone doesn't serve any time at all. But in a case like that, when you know, it was a high-profile case. It was outrageous if the allegations are true. And I think, again, the prosecutor is going to use his discretion and say, we are going to demand jail time for the fools you made out of us by making this false claim and diverting all of these assets and resources.
Karen, are there more people that are going to come out that are tied to that particular scandal that Lori Loughlin and them are in? Like, is there are people that were midway through the process that maybe their kids didn't get in yet?
Oh, I think the fallout has just begun. I mean, we have lawsuits from kids who got into Stanford who are saying our degree isn't as good as it used to be because you guys were doing fraudulent things. Then there are the kids who didn't get in who are trying to claim that I would have gotten in but for the fraud and I would have had a better job and I would have made more money, which is speculative. And I believe that the universities are going to be suing the individuals who perpetrated these things. I mean, we have not even seen the tip of the iceberg here. And, you know, not to mention the change in laws. Can you imagine you being a university administrator now, rules you're going to have to put in place for your school? You're going to have an independent auditor for ethics. You're going to be monitoring these processes. You're going to be maybe hiring people to pose as applicants to see if the process is, in fact, fair. There may be laws, in fact, that open up the process to transparency because we don't really know what University of Illinois does or what Stanford does. It's all kind of shrouded in secrecy. I can see a legislator saying all of these processes now have to be public record and you get to see how these decisions are made. So, yeah, we're going to have lots of changes.
This lit up Twitter, as you know, tweet from a woman named Ashley Nicole Black. I feel like the best way for these rich moms to make amends is not to go to jail, but to pay off my student loans.
Ooh, I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and like, I know that we keep talking about the actresses because those are the ones we know, but some of these like people are CEOs of, you know, venture capitalist firms and things. Like, they probably are going to have to lose jobs as well, like how Lori Loughlin was fired. Like, if you're a head of a company and you were scamming your kid to get in, that doesn't look good for your company either.
No.
Oh,
no likelihood,
absolutely.
You got to go.
And that has started from what I have seen. I mean, if you were a lawyer and you did that, you would lose your law license. I mean, if you're a securities advisor, you might lose your license to do that based upon your fraud. So, yeah, these people are going to have serious fallout. And I think you're right, Steve. I think we are going to see different variations of this scheme. I mean, just because this guy was the mastermind here and doing it for all these celebrity and wealthy people, there are probably different versions of this going on at all different levels, you know, and it's probably, they're going to probably uncover those things, and we're going to have additional prosecutions would be my prediction.
Karen, John DeCaus, how are you? My father paid extra so that I could get a choice of both entrees at the cafeteria. Will I be, am I, like, what are my repercussions at this point?
You're going to jail.
Am I going to jail?
Yeah, you're going to jail.
You're going to miss a meal, buddy.
Yeah. I don't like your chances. A guy named Zach tweeted, imagine working at the FBI and everybody around you is uncovering crimes by the president and other cool stuff, and you get assigned to wiretap Aunt Becky to get her dumb kid into college.
Hilarious.
But this is a big deal. This is a big deal, and it's going to continue to be a big deal.
What I find is very interesting is this, the whole idea that this is like the helicopter parenting issue on steroids. It's the parents who, I mean, they don't care about their kids. Their kids are going to be taken care of. They've probably got millions of dollars in trust funds, but they want that sticker on their car that says, my kid goes to Harvard. It's all about ego, and they are paying all this money just to have their dreams of what their children should be come into to fruition. I mean, that's amazing that parents are so helicopter these days that they can't even let their kid take the entrance exam. They can't even let them their own merits lead the way here. And these kids are just going to be ill-equipped in the future to handle life if they can't make mistakes, not get into schools, and, you know, work for what they want. It's incredible.
Well, and like Olivia Jade, she was making money. She was an influencer, you know, and had
probably making a lot of money.
Yeah, with Sephora and things like that. But she's lost them all. So this is she's the
double whammy.
Good at, yes.
Mom's going to jail, and I lost my gig.
Well, and I wonder if the prosecution is going to go as far as to maybe charge one of the kids. You know, if they're over a certain age, they could be charged. A lot of them didn't know, apparently. But could the prosecution charge one of the kids who was complicit in it? Absolutely. It set an example that kids aren't supposed to be doing this.
Would it be conspiracy, or what would it be?
I mean, it would be some kind of fraud. They were complicit in the whole fraudulent scheme to get into the school without the qualifications. And certainly you can charge a young person, but, you know, probably not. Probably the parents and the administrators are going to go first. But, you know, kids should be sent a lesson, too. You can't do this.
Well, can you imagine your psyche, Steve, if you found out that you got into a college and that you're parents had to do some things for you to get in, and you thought you got in on your own? Like, your parents had no confidence in you that they had to...
But I think these kids have been, you know, snowflaked all the way up.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that, I mean, that's a good point. Like, you and I might think that way. We might feel ashamed, and we might feel like we're, you know, we shouldn't be there and have the imposter syndrome. But I don't know. When kids are raised in this entitled world and everything is being given to them, and parents are doing their school projects and taking their tests for them, this is maybe par for the course, yeah. And they feel like they're entitled to that, too.
Have you heard of snowplow parents?
No.
This is a new phrase. Snowplow parents are parents who go a step further than helicopter parents. There was a report, I believe in the London Times, a mother started a charity in her son's name, a full-blown charity, to try to boost his chances of being accepted into the college of his choice.
My goodness.
Didn't particularly care about the cause. Another set of parents took turns going to college and stopping by their son's cafeteria set up to make sure that she didn't have any foods with sauce because she didn't like foods with sauce.
That's just like my dad.
I heard about
my dad didn't
parent
even know where I went to college.
Really, exactly. A parent who actually rented an apartment near West Point because they wanted to be there in case the child needed to have laundry done and errands run. Yes,
yeah, that's
West
the
Point.
Snowplow. Another parent booked their child's haircuts. Another texted their college kids every morning to wake them up so they wouldn't sleep through a test. And a third, after the child graduated, called their employer to make sure they were set up properly in the job they had just taken.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
Snowplow parents. There's your phrase of the day. Karen Conti, when are you on the radio?
On the radio on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
All right, and we will hear you then. If people want to get a hold of you at the office and sue somebody, including me, what do they do?
You can email me at WGN@askkarenconti.com or call me at 312-332-7800.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, have a good day.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Every time I move, I lose when I look, I'm in. And every time I turn around, I'm back in love. I get mixed emotions.
On the Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10.
Excuse me, I'm only human.
I mean, it's good. This is
Jeffrey Osborne.
This is number 5. Jeffrey Osborne, can you name the band?
LTD.
That's it.
That's what I'm talking about.
You were never a DJ. How did you pull that off?
I'm just a big Jeffrey Osborne fan.
Crank that up again. It's way more interesting than what I'm about to say.
I opened for Jeffrey Osborne.
Is that right?
I did. At the Holiday Star Theater.
You know he died a couple of weeks ago?
No.
Yeah.
So satisfied.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Kind of brought this whole moment down, didn't I?
Geez, Steve, thanks.
Speaking of famous folks, Emilio Estevez was in the building yesterday, and I also saw a friend of mine who runs Hesed House, really amazing and innovative homeless shelter.
Are you sure Jeffrey Osborne died, or is there more than one Jeffrey Osborne?
Yeah, because I'm looking that up, too.
Didn't he die?
Well, I see this Jeffrey Osborne is alive, but... I'm just, John, is this the Jeffrey Osborne you got? Can you look at my picture?
Am I wrong?
Yes, our Jeffrey Osborne is alive. Yes.
Seriously?
Way to go, Mary.
So sorry. Yes. He's 71.
Who died?
He just had his birthday March 9th. Wait, who died?
Ozzy Osborne passed away about 8 years ago, if that's who you're thinking about.
Sharon!
I almost plowed over Emilio Estevez yesterday. I came out of the newsroom and he was standing in front of the door and I almost knocked him over.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. Right? Movie dealing with homelessness. And Emilio Estevez, I really like the way the movie he did about this famous Spanish road that goes on for miles and miles and miles and miles. And he did it with his dad. And Emilio Estevez and his dad had this broken relationship. He ends up dying while walking along the way, and the father goes to trek that road to try to connect with his son, who he missed out with in real life. It's a good movie. I'd recommend it. And this, I hope, works out well, too. By the way, speaking of the fine people of Aurora, people who've gone to see the producers at the Paramount Theater, who went to see the producers in February and March, donated more than $51,000 to the Aurora Strong campaign for the victims of the February 15th shooting at the Henry Pratt Company.
Oh, that is so cool.
Wow. Isn't that nice?
That is.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, John, I have a question for you.
Steve, I'm right here.
Let's bring it back to... Why am I yelling then?
I don't know.
Let's bring it back to where we started with the music.
Yeah.
Because you've got the music in you.
Oh, I thought you were going to name other names of people you think are dead that aren't dead.
I know.
Who else did I get died? He died?
I don't know.
I'm looking at other members of the group to maybe see if one of them died.
Can you just look up... there's a website called peoplestevethoughtdied.com. Oh, it's James Ingram.
Oh, yes, James Ingram did pass away. That's true. Yeah.
He's not Jeffrey Osborne.
No, he's separate.
I'm sorry. I could hear Super Joe say that in your ear. How does Super Joe know that? He's like 20.
Super Joe knows everything.
That's impressive.
James Ingram did a song with Patti LaBelle.
Yes.
Which was a big hit. And he's not Jeffrey Osborne. By the way, if Jeffrey Osborne is listening this morning, I apologize.
Okay. And I certainly don't want to take any credit away from the two callers that called in and informed me of that.
I told you.
I did know it before they said it, I think.
I should just stick to throwing pizza against a wall in an elevator.
Someone also said Don Hathaway died.
Donny Hathaway.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Donny.
No, that's okay. Don. But that's the famous Christmas song.
Is he related to Anne Hathaway?
It's Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. It is a great song. I didn't know he died either.
You know Johann Sebastian Bach died?
No.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
He was living with Jeffrey Osborne.
I'm just going with super safe.
Touring together.
Super safe announcements right. About people I'm sure are dead.
And before we get calls, Ozzy Osbourne is not dead.
No, he's not.
Sharon!
You know how we have cameras everywhere around here? I wish Steve Grzanich had run Emilio Estevez over so that we could have... ask for the footage on that.
Would be no, cool. No.
Yeah,
I'm sure I would have been in big trouble.
Well,
Based on Emilio's size, he's not a big man, Steve. You would have killed him.
Yeah. He, tiny compared to me. Yeah, I could have really hurt him bad. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like, whoa, what are you doing, buddy?
Well, you know what's funny is you do move at a speed that's not, you know, it doesn't make sense for a man of your size.
Yeah, I like to, I move pretty steadily forward. Yeah.
You move fast.
Yeah. It's all that dog walking.
It is.
Because people tell me I mosey, and I say, listen, if I can get up to mosey speed, that'd be impressive.
Yeah.
But Steve is always...
Oh,
he charges.
Yeah, he charges.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hurt somebody someday. I know. I just hope it's not Emilio Estevez.
I just hope you don't have pizza on your hand when you do.
John, we're going to do two things today. We're going to play a brand new game show.
Brand new game show.
John hums the hits.
Yep.
John will hum various TV theme songs, and we, along with listeners, will have to guess what theme song he's humming.
That'll be fun. That'll be good.
And then later on, we're going to tell you how you can enter Karaoke 2019. This is the bit that James Corden stole and is making millions and millions off of.
But where are we going to do that? We don't have a parking lot.
That's the best part. I worked this out.
We're adapting.
And, adopt a parking garage.
We will announce that coming up in a little while. Probably announce it with Dean in the 8 o'clock hour.
Perfect.
We will come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in a moment on 720 WGN.
Dave and it's sports. Dave and it's sports. Dave and it's sports. Dave and it's sports. Dave and it's sports.
Put your ears on.
Dave and it's sports.
It's an update.
Dave and it's sports.
It's an update.
Dave and it's sports. Dave and it's sports.
Dave. Another classic from the musical mind of John DeCoste.
I think that was the first one I wrote.
I think it could have been the first one.
Bob Costas was the first one. Then it was yours. Yeah, but I haven't heard that in a long time.
Bob Costas.
Yeah, remember that? Bob Costas eyes?
He's got Bob Costas eyes? Well, remember when Bob Costas had pink eye at the Olympics?
That was
the inspiration?
Yeah. That was it.
All right, Dave, you are a treasure in Chicago of sports knowledge. And I would
say treasure. That sounds like a relic.
I would encourage people
or that I'm very ill.
I didn't call him a relic. You called him a relic. I would encourage you to listen to the Steve Cochran Show Everything podcast. Dave Ennett is this week's guest, and we had a good talk. It was time for the talk, and we had a good talk. But Dave, having you here, we feel that it's time to help our listeners, who we love, get through their own gambling. So as they fill out their illegal pools at work, we're looking for some help from you. So let's start, Dave, if you would, in the East Region.
The East Region.
Now, Duke's coming out of the East Region. It's hard to imagine that anybody will beat him. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I can't see anybody beating Duke. I really can't. If there were a team that could do it, it's in that region, and that's Michigan State. But honestly, I think Duke at full power with Zion Williamson, as healthy as he is, this is the best team in the field. And barring something unforeseen, and odd things happen, obviously, Michigan State, now Virginia Tech is going to be a tough Sweet 16 matchup for them. They come out of that conference, but I still think Michigan State, if they get their to the regional final, that's their biggest hurdle, but I still think that they're better than any other team in the tournament. So that's the team I'm picking to win it all.
How about a sleeper coming out of the East?
Well, I guess you can't call Michigan State a sleeper, can you?
Nope.
Two seed.
Nope.
So
sleepers five or below.
They won last
four or below.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, they won last night, and that's Belmont.
Oh, Belmont.
Belmont's pretty good team. Okay. Belmont, I've got them. They're a very high scoring team, very good offensive team.
You think they'll beat LSU?
I've got them beating Maryland in the next game. And Maryland's a young team that kind of struggled towards the end of the season. They weren't always real consistent because they have some youth, but they're very strong inside. And so I think that's going to be the issue for Belmont, is dealing with Bruno Fernando and the strength inside of Maryland.
But do you like Yale at all?
I do like Yale, but here's the thing about picking these upsets, and you know, there's some trendy picks right now. Yale is one of them. And look, I think Yale's a really good team. They're very impressive. They're playing LSU in that first game. I'm tempted to take that, but keep this in mind. If you look at the percentages, Steve, and everybody loves to say, well, you know, take a 12 over a 5. Take a 13 over a 4. The 13 seeds only beat the 4 seeds 20% of the time, 21% of the time.
1 in 5.
Yeah, I mean, so you're
playing a long shot.
Yeah, it's a long shot. Now, if you like that, how far are you going to ride them? That's mm-hmm. the other thing, because you can count on one hand and maybe a couple extra fingers how many times a team that's seeded 8 or below gets all the way to the Final Four. I mean, we saw it last year with Loyola. We saw Butler do it as an 8 seed. We saw VCU do it as an 11 seed. It does happen. Wichita State, South Carolina a few years ago as a 7 seed. But if you can rattle those off and name them, a handful of them, that means you're really bucking the odds when you take those teams to get all the way to the Final Four.
All right, let's go to the West.
Odds. I like the bucking the odds.
You odds bucker. Let's go to the West. Gonzaga, do they get through?
Gonzaga does not get through. I have Gonzaga going out to Florida State.
Wow.
In the Elite Eight. I've got Michigan coming out of that. Joe, are you hearing
me?
Yeah,
we're talking.
Okay.
Here we go.
I've got Michigan coming out. Look, Michigan has been one of the best teams in the country all year, and I know they couldn't beat Michigan State, and that was their big failing. And there's still a possibility if Michigan State gets past Duke that Michigan and Michigan State are going to meet in the Final Four. And could Michigan State beat them 4 times? I mean, that's
tough.
I mean, who thought they'd beat them 3 times? But I really like that Michigan team.
I'll tell you who. Pat Boyle in my household.
One. And Julie Stern in our traffic department.
Sleeper out of the West. You like Buffalo?
Sleeper out of the West. Well, you know, I do like Buffalo to get past that opening game. I have them losing to Texas Tech.
Okay.
I don't like them that. I think, you know, Nevada's good, but they're a 7 seed. That Marquette-Murray State game, there's another trendy pick. Murray State over Marquette. Marquette struggled towards the end of the year, lost 5 of their last 6.
Does it throw you off at all that Murray State has a restriction on the team that everybody on the team has to be a little old Jewish guy named Murray?
That does kind of hurt them in this first matchup, Steve. You're right.
You know what's funny is that might be one of the best games of the entire tournament. Yeah, two of the best point guards.
Okay. Morant and, you know, you've got two basically lottery picks, I think, in that game.
Yeah, Marcus Howard.
And Marcus Howard for Marquette. But I still think Marquette overall is the better team.
What about Murray Schimmelstein? Is he any good? Can he hit the 3?
Yeah, he's not a very good defender.
So you think Gonzaga's going to beat Emily Dickinson?
Fairly Dickinson.
Fairly
yes,
well?
I do. Look, there's been... Fairly well, yes. There's
been one... That Emily Dickinson
here's the
playing.
Other thing. There's been one 16 seed...
It was last year, wasn't
ever. It was last year. It was Maryland-Baltimore County where they knocked off Virginia.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so it took all those years for that to finally happen. So I just don't think it's going to... They're going to turn right around and have it happen again.
Is Virginia going to get out of the South?
Virginia is going to get out of the South.
Give me a sleep.
I've got St. Mary's coming out of that obvious reasons.
You know, here's the problem with Virginia. Somebody could shut them down offensively. Defensively, they're an excellent team. Last year, they got upset in that first game, and so you know that their antenna are up.
Right, and when you're playing with your antenna up, you can always get foul trouble early.
As I said, I realized how lame that sounded. But they're going to be on guard.
All right, what about sleeper out of the South?
Out of the South, a sleeper.
Surprise team?
I think you've got a couple. UC Irvine, the Anteaters. Now, I don't have them.
You don't think they'll beat Kansas State?
You know, that's a tough one. I think they certainly could beat Kansas State. I think Kansas State's going to survive a very close game.
That's a 13 over a 4.
And then I've got Wisconsin taking out Kansas State and then losing to Virginia. I've got Purdue getting to the Elite Eight and then losing to Virginia there. But it wouldn't shock me to see Purdue win that game.
This all region right. scares me the most. The
Tennessee
South region,
is there's the just South.
Some, yeah,
Tennessee could win it. Could win it all.
Absolutely. Tennessee is super strong. I mean, they got blown out in the SEC championship game, but that's just a region where, you know, maybe it's just because of what Virginia did last year with Baltimore County, just getting upset as the first time as a one seed. But there's just so many teams in there that you don't really know. You know, is Wisconsin as a five seed? That's, you know, can they win even the first game? We'll see.
Old Dominion is in the top 10 nationally in field goal defense and scoring defense. They could beat Purdue, you know, but I don't think they will. But that's in all of these matchups, Steve. That's the thing. These teams are capable, and that's it. Used to be, you knew if you had Purdue against Old Dominion, it's no contest, right. And they're going to cruise through. It doesn't work that way in this tournament.
On any given day, God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Mm-hmm. Your antenna are up.
And your antenna's up. In the Midwest, North Carolina hard to beat?
North Carolina is very hard to beat. I've got them in the Final Four. You know, if you look at their path, I mean, obviously they'll get tested by Kansas, assuming Kansas gets past Northeastern. There's another good team, Northeastern. But I think Kansas will survive there. Kansas didn't have a typical Kansas year, and they've had some players that they've lost over the course of the season, so they're not exactly at full strength. I do think they'll get into that matchup with
potential
North
sleeper
Carolina,
Wofford.
Wofford's there. I don't even think they're that much of a sleeper. They're a seventh seed, and they're a really good team.
That's the Wofford Dingbats, right?
They are the Terriers, I think.
Yeah, I think that's
and
right.
And they are, I think, second in the nation in 3-point field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. So
me too.
They could give Kentucky a battle.
All right, give me your Final Four then.
My Final Four, and I'm waffling a little bit on Duke Michigan State only because I just think Michigan State in that moment, they're so tough.
You're just saying that so Samber can go home to Pat Boyle.
Well, there is that too. But I just think Duke is the best team in the field, and it would take a monumental upset to knock them off. So I've got Duke coming out of there. I got Michigan coming out of the West. I got North Carolina out of the Midwest and Virginia out of the South. Keep this in mind. There's only been one time that all four number one seeds have gotten to the Final Four.
That's
and that's been 11 years. So somebody's going to sneak in there. That in my mind, it's Michigan. Somebody who's not seeded number one is going to get there.
And you got a Duke-North Carolina final?
I got a I didn't finish my bracket.
All right, well, that's fine. You gave us a Final Four.
You know, I got Duke winning over North Carolina.
And if anybody takes these picks to heart and loses, you'll cover them?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure. It's thank you, Dave, for that information. It's 7:24.
Was there any information in there?
There was a lot of information.
Keep your antenna up.
No, there really was. What happens to your antenna is none of my business. The MVPP in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We are in a time now where there's so much hate and there's so much garbage that comes out and through the air and it's happening like in New Zealand that we all need to do something positive, something good. We need to do something to bring goodness into our lives.
Yesterday's MVPP, changing the world. Good man. Did a bone marrow transplant years ago, saved a life, got a kidney transplant himself recently, not expecting it, obviously. What goes around comes around in some very interesting ways. Today's a little different on the MVPP as we welcome Del Hall to the program. Good morning, Del.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing fine. You're director of sales at 50 West Brewing?
Yes, sir.
How's biz?
Business is booming right now.
You're making your numbers? Do we have to have a talk? We have a meeting later?
We're all good. Okay. There's been a lot of press lately, so sales are up.
What's your number one product?
Coast to Coast IPA.
Coast to Coast IPA. Can we get it in Chicago?
Yep. You cannot. It's only available in Ohio and Kentucky.
Okay, so why would it be called Coast to Coast if you can only get it in Ohio and Kentucky?
Because our brewery is named after a road that goes from coast to coast.
Well, and honestly, it'd be a stupid name if you called it Ohio and Kentucky.
Yeah,
coast to coast sounds cooler.
Well, especially you know, years down the road when we're in other states.
Delcy, that's why you're the director of sales, and I'm the talk show guy. All right, so you're fasting for Lent in a very interesting way. You are doing what for Lent?
So I gave up all solid foods. Absolutely no calories are coming into my body except from beer.
So the only
otherwise known as the Dave Bennett diet.
No, don't. That's not fair.
The only thing you're taking in during Lent is beer.
The only thing with calories. I'm still drinking a lot of water. But yes, uh-huh. The only thing with calories is beer.
Well, we're weekend, right? The Lent, we can tend to use it over a week now.
Today's day 15. Oh, and trust me, I know every single day what it is.
How you feel?
I feel great. I feel fantastic. I'm down some pounds.
You're drinking beer.
Yeah, my senses feel heightened. I think I'm getting the benefits of fasting a normal human would, and it feels great.
Isn't there a chance that you, as director of sales at 50 West Brewing, will be sick of beer by the time Easter comes around?
Absolutely not.
Now, Dal, are you doing, Lent has evolved over the years, and sometimes they give you a day off. Are you doing Sundays off where you get to eat?
No way. No way. Committed? No. 46, okay. 46 straight days of no eating.
Have you already planned what your first meal is going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be soup, because if you put something solid in your system, you're not going to make it very far.
Okay, that makes sense. John, he's quoted as saying that one of the times after pounding a few beers, you were thinking about Taco Bell.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, if you pair something with beer, Taco Bell would certainly be it.
This is, in the Bible, this is called 40 Days and 40 Lights.
Yes, that's right. I remember that passage.
Nice.
All right, so here's the thing. Were you a big guy before, or are you in pretty good shape?
Yeah. No, and I'm still a big guy. So I'm 6'6". I started out at 6'2", 292.
Okay.
And so today's day 15. I just weighed in, and I'm down 23 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive, except for the part where you're only drinking beer. Are you married?
I'm not. I'm divorced. A single guy. I've been single for years.
Do you have any kids?
I do. I have a 12-year-old daughter.
What does she think of this?
She's just normal, crazy dad.
Yeah, it's just dad going to work. Dave, you have any thoughts? Because you're the resident lush on the show.
No, see, I'm not, but I do. Is this? Do you think this could start a trend? I mean, if you're having success, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be recommended by dietitians as a weight loss program, but it's kind of having that effect, isn't it, Del?
It absolutely is. And, I'm checking in with my doctor. I'm filming this whole thing kind of like Super Size Me style documentary.
Yeah.
And my doctor thinks I was crazy as well, but she basically said, hey, if you maintain your hydration, that's the number one concern. If you're well hydrated, I'm also doing regular checkups throughout the 46 days with her just to make sure, like, liver enzymes and my blood work and everything is fine. So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it just because I'm in a unique situation, I think, to do this. I'm the director of sales of a brewery. I have a whole brewery worth of beer at my disposal. My job entails me going out and drinking beer with people, mm-hmm. and then Uber is a business expense to me.
I was just going to say, I hope you're not driving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all those things work in my advantage.
Any alcoholism in your family?
Yes.
Okay, so you got to be careful there.
I'm half Irish, half Scottish. I'm half Irish, half Scottish.
Okay, now, all jokes aside, you got to be careful there.
Absolutely, and I'm very cognizant of my alcohol intake, being in beer sales as it is. So, I think if anything that I'm addicted to in my entire life, it's food. And that's kind of one of the reasons I'm challenging myself to give up food, because I want to break that addiction.
It's what we don't recommend for everybody, but it's working for our new best friend, Del. And Del, where do we see the video, the burgeoning documentary?
Yeah, so I mean, that's in the future. For now, I'm posting a small video every day and an update on YouTube. So if you just search for my name, Del Hall, on Google, you'll see all the links.
I'm telling you, I really like you, and I don't know if I should. It's Del Hall. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you being on. You're the most valuable person on the planet. Hold on, we're going to send you food that you can't eat.
Thanks.
All right, hold on.
The only other Del I ever heard of is the one from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right.
Del. Wonder if he gets that a lot.
Herb Tarlick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Director of sales. He's in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Wow.
All right, it's 7:42. We continue. Show number 1,337. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. I'm sure I'll say something witty today. Or someone else will write it for me. All right, Sandberg, how did you find our next guest?
I found our next guest because I was doing a deep dive on all things Chicago, and Ellen came up.
Ellen Schubart is here. Fortunately, she lives close to the building. The commute wasn't too bad today?
No, it wasn't, but it's raining.
It is raining. Well, I'm sorry about that. you have a book called What's with Chicago? The Quirks, Personality, and Charm of the Windy City. I didn't think you could find facts we didn't already know, but you did it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's really great, because there are a lot of things that make Chicago unique in comparison to other cities.
You look out this window right behind me here, you can see the wheel at Navy Pier.
That's right. That's one of those things that is totally Chicago. The Ferris wheel was first introduced in 1893 at the World's Fair, although the one that you're looking at out your window is a little shorter.
Oh, it is smaller.
It is smaller, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's about two-thirds the size of the one that was at the fair.
Really?
Yeah, 264 feet up. And the one at the fair also, each one of those little compartments was not for six people like it is over here, but was for 60, was the size of a...
60?
The size of a school bus.
Doesn't seem safe to me.
No. It certainly was. Mr. Ferris made that possible.
All right, now, I also didn't know that the original intent was to out-Eiffel the Eiffel Tower.
That's right. In 1889, there was a fair in Paris, and that's when they unveiled the Eiffel Tower. And so Mr. Burnham, Daniel Burnham, who was the architect for the fair, wanted something that was going to just outdo Eiffel altogether. And this is what happened. Mr. Ferris came in, brought the wheel, and the rest is history.
You know how in a Ferris wheel you have to wait, it stops for each car to unload? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine unloading 60 people?
No.
60 people on, and then it moving a few feet, and then 60 people
20
on.
Minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes to load, and then you got a 20-minute ride, cost you 50 cents, which is the equivalent of the admission to the fair, too.
I think it's 20 bucks now. Yeah. I do. Something I think it's 20 bucks to ride it now. Yeah. I think it's two laps.
Yeah,
on the wheel. I also didn't know that, because I think everybody thinks the in New York City they built the first skyscraper.
They do say that, but in Chicago we say we built the first skyscraper because the Home Insurance Company building, which was put up at 10 stories. That's what makes a skyscraper. It's got to be more than 10 stories.
Oh, I didn't know that. 10 or more?
10 or more with an elevator. And the first one that really uses the metal frame, which is what holds a skyscraper up, was here in Chicago. William LeBaron Jenney was the architect.
And compared to what the New Yorkers say, they're just taking credit for something that's not theirs.
Well, they have some basis for it. It just happens to be how much of the building was a metal frame. But whether or not the first one was here, even though we maintain it was. We certainly are the birthplace of the skyscraper, because after the Great Chicago Fire, we had the space and the ability, and we just start building skyscrapers like mad.
The street names we have in Chicago can be unique and can be annoying and can be confusing.
Yes.
We were in a discussion about Sheridan the other day, and I was talking to somebody about Sheridan, and they go, well, how come Sheridan goes west? It goes north. I go, Sheridan goes in all directions.
That's right, and it's named after Philip Sheridan, who was a general in the Civil War. And it really goes more north than anything else, and the reason that it's there is because the industrialists of the 1890s, 80s, and 90s were a little worried about the labor unrest in the city, and they wanted a direct route for the troops to come from Fort Sheridan, named again for him, all the way down into the city quickly to stem any possible violence.
Well, we got Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe. If we're going to name streets after presidents, why didn't we put them in order?
That's a very good question, but the guy who did it is a guy named, truthfully, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he named it the way he wanted it. He was from Randolph County, and so he put Randolph first.
I did not know that.
He also was offered some land as part of his payment for service, and he said no, he'd take the horse instead. Lost out on the real estate boom of the city at the beginning.
We have a connection in this building at 303 to the Pedway.
Yes, you do.
The Pedway is one of the great, well-kept secrets for most Chicagoans. But it's a really necessary way to get around for people, especially in the winter, but on a rainy summer day as well. Sandberg, you spent a lot of time in the Pedway.
I have. I love the Pedway. And I know from being in the Pedway, I've learned things about that they don't match up properly because they were different areas were dug out and built out separately, and then somebody's plans didn't meet up in the right. That's why you feel like sometimes when you're in there, you get jockeyed left or right, and you're like, this doesn't make any sense, and that's because it was done wrong.
That's right. Particularly between the Thompson Center and the City Hall.
Right.
There's something called the vertical misalliance, because the two each started building from one place to the other, and they just didn't meet in the middle. So from then on, nowadays, you have to have the same engineering firm on either end of the two parts of the Pedway if you want to
make
it.
Has anybody ever been lost down there forever?
Well, I don't know about that. It's like Charlie and the MTA, but certainly people are constantly talking about how difficult it is, and it really is better than you think if you learn how to use the Pedway signs. But you know, there is a committee right now working on trying to make better signage in the Pedway, both in the Pedway itself and to get into the Pedway from the buildings on the street level, making better signage.
The signage
in the buildings.
I'll say one thing that throws you off down there for sure is when you're going through the hotel, the bottoms of the hotels, you don't know that you're still in the Pedway sometimes. Like, you're in the bottom of the Hyatt, and you're like, well, is the Pedway on the other side? It just gets confusing.
Well, right? Yeah, next door, too, at the Swiss.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels like
you've
the basement.
You've been confused.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. With my sense of direction, I'd be the one that's lost down there forever. One more street question. I'm on Lower Wacker every day. What do I not know about Wacker?
Well, you want to know who Wacker was?
Yeah.
Wacker is named for Charles Wacker. It's a three-level street that comes from the 1909 plan of Chicago that same Daniel Burnham created. The whole idea was to keep freight traffic down under and let pedestrians and light traffic be up on the top. It was created after the turn of the last century when they moved the produce market out of this area and further to the west. And Wacker's ideas were so good that they renamed the street. The original street was Water Street, and they renamed something else Water Street and made it Wacker in his honor. It's three levels right here where you are right on the south end of the river. And it has the pound on the bottom level. The middle level is where you get around downtown. The biggest secret everybody who lives downtown knows. You can get across the loop without more than two stoplights. And then up is the major street.
But I think it should only be used by me because, you know, occasionally you'll be on Lower Wacker and you'll see a city bus.
Yes. Oh, the buses do use City Wacker.
Yeah, and a city bus, unless you have an experienced driver, he's not taking one lane. He's taking two.
Yeah.
Because it's a little narrow down there.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's where Batman, one of the Batman movies' major stunts was shot.
That's right.
And for a long time, there was, I know when I worked in the Prudential Building, you could take like a straight shot under there to Soldier Field, but then they blocked it off, and now I think only like VIPs are allowed to use it.
Only the buses that go to the conventions are able to.
I didn't even know that.
There's a route from Millennium Park zapped straight through to McCormick Place to avoid the conventioneers having to be.
Really?
I did not know it was just buses. I thought it was that you had to be highfalutin.
Well, you probably do.
Much more here for Ellen Schubart. We'll come back and talk about the quirks, personality, and charm of your town. What's with Chicago? It's the name of the book. Get a couple copies. You know, you'll lose one.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ellen Schubart's here, and let's talk a little food because Jeff Morrow, the Sandwich King's coming in a while. Chicago-style pizza. I don't care that New Yorkers hate it. I mean, I like thin better, but Chicago-style pizza's it's iconic.
It is iconic. It started with Uno's way back. Now it's everywhere. But, you know, Chicago has more different styles of pizza. There's stuffed. There's deep dish. And I'm with you. I'm a thin person. But everybody can get pizza almost anywhere in the city. And it's a lot better, if you ask me, than that New York stuff.
You're not supposed to be able to fold pizza. And New Yorkers fold pizza.
Absolutely.
It's dumb. What about Twinkies? Was this supposed to be a national brand?
Twinkies was an accident kind of waiting to happen. The Hostess baking company was able, they used to make strawberry shortcake in the springtime, and they had the molds, and they were just sitting around. And somebody thought, well, why don't we use them? And so they started experimenting, and the original Twinkie was a banana filling. But then there was a shortage of bananas, and they went to what is today the cream-filled. Twinkies are supposed to be good forever, and they're one of the most popular.
That's something you look for in food.
One of the most popular foods that people don't really know comes from Chicago.
What's with Chicago? The quirks, personality, and charm of the Windy City. Ellen Schubart's here. Let me turn it over to the hot dog discussion to Vice President of Hot Dogs.
If you want to see Ellen, you can go to the Northbrook Public Library on Saturday, March 23rd from 2 to 3, and she'll be discussing her book.
That's this Saturday.
Yeah,
that is this Saturday.
Okay.
Right.
Got a hot dog question?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. We talked about ketchup off the air.
Yeah.
And I always remember this story. Jimmy's Hot Dogs, which is on Grand and Pulaski, which is a famous place. And my son went there with a friend of his, and they ordered it, and his friend ordered ketchup. And my son came back to the car furious. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that.
I'm so embarrassed.
But I'm very particular about my hot dogs because they have to be natural casing. If they're not natural casing, I don't care what you put on them. I don't want them.
Okay. Well, the hot dog is... by the way, for your son, most of the hot dog places in town will say if you're under 17, it's okay to be incorrect.
Correct.
So you could have ketchup. But the original hot dog comes because of the casings and the ingredients. They're introduced in the 1893 World's Fair again. Lots of things in Chicago date to the fair.
Yeah.
And they were without pork. And without pork casing, because there was an influx of Eastern European Jewish immigrants at the time, and sausages was everybody's best bet for something to eat. And so two guys got together. Today that is Vienna beef. And they came up with sausages that were without pork.
I don't know if you
didn't even know that.
No, I didn't know that either. I don't know if you covered this in the book, but who started calling it Chicagoland? Do we have any idea?
Chicagoland, I don't know, no.
Because in Chicago says it.
I think that's a Chamber of Commerce kind
of. It's got to be, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Are we a city of great churches?
We are a city of great churches. Among other things, that the Archdiocese of Chicago with the Catholic churches used to set up a different church depending on which immigrant group there was, so that the Germans could have a German-speaking priest and so on.
Makes sense.
So we have lots of different Catholic churches, but we have the variety of churches all the way across. And if you just look out the window sometime at all the spires, if you're driving down the highway, either on the Dan Ryan or the Kennedy, you'll see a ton of spires in the sky.
What's with Chicago? The quirks, personality, and charm of the Windy City. And Ellen Schubart, I think this is a great book, gift for everybody.
And you can go to the Northbrook Public Library on Saturday, March 23rd from 2 to 3 if you want to meet Ellen.
Wilson football.
Yeah, Wilson football, one of the purveyors of which was your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
my father's the one who got the football adoption for the NFL.
Well, there you go. It's the only way the Bears have
been
able to get...
And he did not use ketchup.
I was going to say, it's the only way Chicago's gotten to the Super Bowl in the last 20 years is through the Wilson.
Yeah, that's kind of true. One exception, but that's kind of true.
Right.
Ellen, great to see you.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
Congrats on the book. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll go next with Steve.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard. Entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Good morning, Dean.
Man, pro and
Steve, good morning to you. And welcome to another exciting edition of More
on
Entertainment.
I wonder if we're going to hear more Llama Llama.
No, but, you know, I think I do need to once again publicly apologize for the pizza apocalypse I caused yesterday.
Pizza apocalypse?
After the goodbye shindig for Stephanie, one of our former managers who's a traitor and left, they had a bunch of pizza from our friends at Lou Malnati's. And, you know, I have a rule. I don't take leftovers. But I thought, you know, I'm hungry. I haven't had lunch. I'm going to grab a couple slices of pizza. So I threw them on a plate. I had a folder that I was carrying with very important papers in it.
Uh-oh.
I get on the elevator, and I got the plate. I got the pizza covered with another plate. I'm doing fine. On the 14th floor, someone hits the the button because they got to get somewhere. And the door opens, and I move to the side to let him on. And the pizza explodes out of my hand.
Oh, no.
All over the elevator. I mean, it looked like a murder scene.
Other people going to be okay, Uncle Air?
There was sauce everywhere. There was pizza on the floor. Guy goes, uh-oh. And he held the door while I picked up pizza sauce by hand.
Oh, no.
And chunks of tomato by hand.
Wouldn't have been so bad, except it was you had it on your hand this morning.
Oh, I should probably wash that off. Here's the thing, Dane. I felt badly about it because, you know, I caused the pizza apocalypse. So we get to the bottom. He stepped over the carnage. I take the elevator back to 18. I went and grabbed some paper towels. And then I played elevator roulette. I kept hitting the down button, waiting for that car to come back to me so I could clean up that car.
Oh, wow.
Only five elevators. It never came back. After three tries, I went, we are S out of luck. I went back down to the lobby. I went to the security guy. I looked him in the eye, and I said, listen, we got troubles. One of the elevators, somebody dropped pizza.
Somebody.
Somebody dropped pizza. And he said, which elevator? I go, well, the one I was in. They eventually had to clean it up after some time. But I felt badly about the fact that I created such a pizza carnage situation.
All because you're too much of a big shot to eat pizza with everybody else.
Exactly.
At the party.
Look at Dean. We're going right to the root of that.
Interesting.
I didn't even pick up on that one.
It's funny. My therapist said something similar yesterday. All right. So anyway, apologies if you work at 303 East Wacker. I'm sorry I destroyed the elevator with pizza.
I don't think you need to apologize because...
Accidents happen?
No. Normally, the elevator is not the most pleasant smelling place. And I'm sure it's very delightful now that it smells like tomato sauce and pepperoni. And
that's a good point.
Smells delightful.
It's interesting because they use a lot of ammonia when they cleaned it up. Same thing you have to use when you clean up a murder scene.
You're right, though, Dean. I complained because the elevators do smell like food and various things.
Various things.
Yeah. It's a good thing you didn't take any salad with you, though, Steve, because I noticed the onion smell was really strong yesterday around the salad. There was onion on it.
It's like the force is strong with this one. The onion is strong with that one.
They were like, it was a stronger onion. I could smell it as we were walking toward the party. The onion smell was the strongest.
Wafting down the hallway. We're going to play an exciting new game, Dean. As you know, we don't just throw stuff against the wall on Moron Entertainment.
No, this is heavily produced.
We focus group it. We run tests.
Yeah.
The other day...
you know what we do? We run it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Or who shoves it. The other day, John was humming TV theme songs, and I thought, hey, here's a game. Yeah. So if you'd like to be the contestant on our first ever edition of What the Hell is John Humming? 312-981-7200 is the number. Stand by, and you could be a big winner in just moments. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. The Lollapalooza schedule just came out.
All right, who's on it?
It's my second favorite day of the year.
Right after opening day?
For the first day of opening day of Lollapalooza, yes. Standing out in the hot weather with kids who could be my grandchildren, yeah, that's fun. That's a rocking good time. I don't care what anybody says. So these are the headliners. Ariana Grande.
Wow.
How about that? Childish Gambino.
Wow.
Going to headline one of the nights. 21 Pilots. They were trying to get 23, but apparently only 21 are able to show up.
Well, they were trying to get mature Gambino. He didn't show up either.
The Strokes are going to be performing this year.
All of them or just a couple?
Every single one of the Strokes are going to be there. The Chainsmokers.
Oh. It's
a good band.
Bite that tattoo on your shoulder.
Yeah, good band. Good band. Bad name, good band.
Janelle Monáe.
I love her.
Lil Wayne. Casey Musgraves going to be performing. Gary Clark Jr., Death Cab for Cutie.
It's a big lineup.
They have some big names this year.
I would say this is the biggest group of headliners, most substantial group of headliners since the last time I've said that.
The names that you know.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Heidemann is now working on our show, and he does that podcast Sound Sessions for our station, and I bet he's going to have heavy Lollapalooza coverage with you, Dean, so we will have him contribute.
Michael Heidemann's trying to figure out a way to fly to Lollapalooza and charge it to the station.
Even though it's two blocks away.
Right, yeah. He just got back from South by Southwest, Steve.
I hope this means, Steve, that we're going to have more Is That a Band playing at Lollapalooza or a name that I made up. Like,
is it a Lollapalooza band, a band I was in, or not a band at all?
Right. For example, Magic City Hippies.
Magic City Hippies is a Lollapalooza band.
The Nude Party.
That's a real band.
I was in a band called the Nude Bachelor Party, but that may be different.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Weird. A Nude Bachelor Party.
That was the name of the band. It's not actually what happened at the party.
Wow.
That's a band. That's a lot of
Schlump? How about Schlump?
It's a great name.
That's the Stooge they never talk about.
Is that a Lollapalooza band?
Yep.
Okay.
Schlump.
Schlump.
All right, well, we'll play that game later in the summer. I know you kids can't wait.
Lollapalooza.com, if you want to get more info. The four-day passes are on sale right now, if you don't mind taking a second mortgage out on your house.
Well, how much are they? I don't even know.
Just for regular general admission, like $345. But if you want the full VIP package, $4,200.
Wow. That's a lot. Wendy Williams is confessing to having an addiction.
Yes, she is. She announced very candidly that not only has she had a cocaine problem, but is now living in a sober house where she goes and does her show, her talk show, and then her sponsor picks her up, takes her to the sober house where they have a very early curfew, and she's going to do that for a little while.
What is a sober house? Is that communal living with other people that are sober?
Yeah.
Think so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're at your own house, you might be tempted or
it's post rehab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I give her a lot of credit for, you know, taking this on. Very, very difficult. Juxtaposed with Paris Jackson, the daughter of Michael Jackson, who is refusing rehab, even though police and those around her would like her to go because they say that she attempted suicide. That's based on drug use. So, you know, that's where that story is sitting right now. They want her to go. They feel like she needs to be there. She is saying, not going to go.
Well, listen, that's a rough story. And it's surprising that the kids aren't completely messed up. And it sounds ridiculous to say this, but how's Blanket?
I think Blanket is okay, I believe.
Okay, well, that's good.
He's changed his name. I don't remember what it is right now, but I remember reading. I don't know why you'd want to change your name if you have a cool name like Blanket. I would change it to Duvet or...
Did he change it to Bob? Bob Jackson?
Duvet.
James Corden hosting the Tony Awards?
They just announced he will, this June, Radio City Music Hall. This is his second time now.
He was good. He was good the first time.
The Tony Awards. Yes, he was.
Yep. And you got Dumbo tickets to give away, or you're a Dumbo?
Both. WGNTV.com/contests. You can enter the random drawing. We're going to have a special pre-screening for this new Dumbo movie that's got Colin Farrell and Michael Keaton and Ava Green, Danny DeVito, and an elephant that can fly. It's a real elephant that can fly. It's not special effects.
That's a flying elephant. Wow.
Hey, Dean, in 2015, he changed his name to B-I-G-I. But this is just funny. He has a sister named Paris, and then he has a brother named Michael Joseph Jackson, who is confusingly known as Prince because his actual name is Prince Michael Jackson, but he was going by Blanket, and now is B-G.
How the hell are these kids normal at all? I mean, anyway.
Was Blanket now BG the one that Michael Jackson hung over the balcony?
Yes. And he keeps a low profile, so he's often referred to as the invisible child, according to the Sun.
What is he like, wasn't there another kid named Onesie? What'd you ask, Mayor?
What is he, like 15 or something? Blanket?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
17.
All right, we got to come back and do a quick version of What the Hell's John Humming in just a second. 312-981-7200.
It's John the Cogs bringing you the theme song game show. So play along as we whistle songs on the theme song game show. The theme song game show.
That's right, it's a theme song game show. We're not messing around.
That's right.
How about that, Dean, huh?
That's a big time.
You know, you guys didn't have a TV. You just have Jeff Hoover making funny faces. We actually went to work.
Yeah. Funny, a good theme song and everything.
Yeah. All right. So this is the game show where we try to figure out what theme songs John is humming. What the hell is John humming? We'll start with Ron. And Ron, you can ask any of us for help. John, go.
Are you ready, Ron?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here we go. It's a TV show. Ba da ba da da
ba da da da. That's My Three Sons.
That's it.
Oh, my wow. Three Sons.
That
wow,
is so is good.
He, is, it ding, ding.
Is it a best of three or is he a winner?
No, he's a winner.
All right, you know what he's going to get? A pair of tickets to see Penn and Teller returning to the Chicago Theater
wow,
on
cool.
Friday, November 8th. For over 40 years, the duo have defied labels, redefining the genre of magic and inventing their own way.
Very cool.
Get tickets at Chicago Theater Box Office or Ticketmaster starting Friday at 10 a.m.
I James. Love when they get them. I love when they get them.
Me too. James, your turn.
I would just like to throw in, technically, that was not humming.
No.
That's true.
It's really
that's
slow, true. Too.
That was ba-da-da-da-da-da-ing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, what are you, a critic?
What would a humming version be? How would you hum?
All right, James, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, John.
Okay, right, okay, here's the second one. And who's this?
Is this a TV show as well?
TV show. These are all
okay.
TV shows.
Got it.
Yeah, okay.
That's for James.
Here you go, James.
All right.
Okay, and I'm not humming. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba 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 da.
I think I have this. James, do you know it?
James?
It's at the tip of my tongue, but no, I can't guess it
right
now.
It's a Quinn Martin production?
Quinn Martin production, yes.
Mannix.
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 Ding, ding, ding. I'm so happy you guys.
So, do I give Dave Ennett a prize?
Dave Ennett can't win, so James is a winner.
James, you're going to get a MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow
nice.
You'll ever own. Order yours at mypillow.com and use promo code WGN.
That's good. Not humming.
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris and Elburn. Chris, you ready to play? These are all TV shows. John.
Here we go. I'm sorry, I looked out.
Wow.
Like, I'm
swung out and missed.
I know,
got
I apologize.
Distracted.
I did, just for a second there, you know. Ba-da-da-da.
The price is right.
No, I didn't even do it. Hang on.
I know,
but that was good.
Good
I should have just given
good
it to
guess.
You. Yeah, I should have just. Okay. Oh, my God, I just forgot it in my head. Hold on. That's not my fault. That's
all right, so Chris, you're a big winner.
Sorry, Chris.
Chris, you've already won. One more. It's Eileen. Are you ready to play, John?
Wait, Chris is going to get Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
I am.
Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish.
All right, are you ready now?
Yes. Here we go.
All right.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Not humming, but it's easy.
I want some help.
All right, ask Dean.
I know.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Ask Dean, Eileen.
Okay.
All right, Dean.
Look, help Days of Our Life. Days of Our Life.
No, but that's a good guess. That's a good guess.
I know it is. I know. Oh,
Eileen, I said ask Dean. Go ahead, Dean.
It's a residence.
It's a home, he's saying, I think.
Oh, you're giving a hint. No, what's the answer, Dean?
Oh, it's Little House on the Prairie.
No.
Oh, my God. I'm not old enough for that.
Let's go to Steve Rosanich.
I know it. I got this one.
I feel like
okay.
We're
it's the Waltons.
Yes.
Oh, the Waltons.
Good night, John Boy.
Eileen, as you know, I'm really tough on listeners. I was only going to give you about 10 more opportunities to win. So you've won as well.
I would have guessed that if John had been humming, I would have guessed that.
I knew you'd say that.
Eileen is going to win a MyPillow guaranteed, the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Order yours at MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN.
What a shock that Ron, James, Chris, and Eileen all won, and Chris barely played the game.
Amazing.
It's Not Humming with John.
I'll change the theme song.
And thank you very much for playing our game. Dean, you were no help whatsoever.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on.
Mm-hmm.
You're a moron.
What?
This is the part where you go, so are you.
I'm not going to give him the pleasure.
I thought this ended weird. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
That's Dean Richards. We're back with the headlines in just a moment. And Jeff Morrow standing by in the PPG Paints Green Room. He'll be on with us after the headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Texas says, who did Dave Ennett have going to the Final Four from the South region? That was North Carolina, wasn't it?
North Carolina is out of the Midwest. From the South, I had Virginia getting there.
Got it.
Okay, yeah. Texter, I hope that helps you. And
but it was nervous. Gambling. I was nervous about it.
I know, but off the air, he keeps saying that St. Mary's is going to be there. So
no, I haven't said that once. They did beat Gonzaga.
Another texter from the 815 says, can you have John hum the theme to John Hum's A Theme Song?
Bum-ba-da-ba-ba-da-da.
There you go. There you go.
So play along as we whistle songs on the Theme Song Game Show. The Theme Song Game Show.
Didn't get any better than that.
So I guess it doesn't specifically say you hum, did it?
No.
Okay, so you can. What do you call da 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 da? What is that called? That form of music? Da 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 da.
Like, not singing.
Morse code.
Morse code.
Not singing.
Okay. Morse not code. Singing, but not humming.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what it's called.
I'm gonna hum one for you. Hmm. Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch.
See, look at it's not that hard to hum, John.
Yeah. There was a question that was burning up Twitter yesterday, and because of my time with Abigail Grace, it struck really right at the heart of me. The burning question of the day on Twitter, and granted, there's a lot of problems in the world. I mean, you know, do we throw Trump out of office because he's clearly a criminal? Does the world remain safe in our time? Does Aunt Becky go to jail? I mean, these are all questions that need to be answered. But the burning question of the day yesterday on Twitter was this. Which Sesame Street character would you like to be stranded on an island with? If you had to be stuck on an island with one Sesame Street character, which one would it be?
Cookie Monster. Yeah. I want the
you
cookies.
Got cookies. Yep. Easy. Easy.
I don't know. I mean, Super Grover can fly, so he could probably get you help.
Oh, that's a good point.
Is everybody
Big Bird fly?
Bird cannot fly. Big Bird is grounded, and plus Big Bird's going to eat everything.
I think, is everyone picking Elmo?
I haven't looked at the results yet. Nobody wants Oscar because he's a grouch. He wants to sit around with Oscar.
Yeah.
I definitely want Oscar, actually.
Why do you want Oscar?
I want a little bit of contentious, you know, I don't really want this to be a friendly situation. I want it to be...
You want somebody you can fight with?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
a little surly Sesame Street
feels
character.
Like an odd choice to
I
me.
I want Snuffleupagus.
You want what?
Snuffleupagus.
It's Snuffleupagus?
But either one of those, I'll take.
My God, how dare you? How dare you not know it's Snuffleupagus? Why do you want Snuffleupagus?
Because there's a lot of food. There's more food there.
Hmm.
We have to eat each other.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
See?
He provides more
meat.
Nerve. I gotcha.
I think Elmo's voice would drive me nuts.
Yeah, and he'd want to touch all the time. Like, I wouldn't want to be hugging.
Well, he's always happy.
Yeah, that's
you know, and you're not going to be happy if you're stranded on an island necessarily. David says, Grover, he's insane, and when I descend into delirium from dehydration, he'll make total sense. Cookie Monster's a dessert hog, but when all that's left is bananas, he'll bogart all the calories. These are all things that make a lot of sense, you know, when you really break it down. But this is what people are spending their time on yesterday on Twitter. Dave, you got a choice?
I would go with Big Bird.
You want Big Bird?
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice. Why Big Bird?
I just think he'd be an interesting conversationalist if things were getting kind of quiet and boring.
Tweeter David also says Oscar's a schmuck, and I could only take about 2 weeks of Elmo talking in the third person.
Yeah.
Guess what Elmo's thinking about today?
That's right.
Escaping! Elmo wants to learn more about escaping. Where can Elmo learn more? You think I watched too much of this show?
Is there any other characters that we're missing?
Mr. Hooper, but...
Bert and Ernie!
Yes!
No, you don't want Bert and Ernie.
No?
No.
What about Miss Piggy?
It was too neat to get a room.
That's a totally different show, Mary.
Oh,
come
that's
on.
True.
Piggy's the Muppets.
Is Kermit a Muppet?
Or yes, yeah. Kermit's
Sesame
a Muppet.
Street.
Yeah. I never watched those shows, rarely, when I was little.
Jonathan Jonathan tweets, I'd say Elmo because he's the only one I'd be able to kill and eat without any remorse.
Oh, my God. There's that attitude.
Seth says Grover, but my correct answer is Oscar. You don't want anyone, this is Joe. You don't want anyone cheerful in that situation. Plus, Grover can show you how to subsist on trash.
Ooh, you want to do Count Van Count?
One.
Steven says, the count? How annoying with the count. How many days have we been here? Two.
Two days.
Steve, the formal name is Count Van Count.
How many days have we been here now? Three. 3 days without food.
Yeah, but the count sleeps during the day, doesn't he?
I'll keep you up all night. I like Grzanich. Was that you with the count laugh?
That was me, yes.
Can I hear it again?
Sort of like
The choice that Twitter gave you was Grover, Oscar, Elmo, or Cookie. But I like some of these other ones you're picking as well. So Twitter has not given me a full final response on who the big winner was. I'm going to stick with Grover because I would tell Grover, Super Grover, I need you to fly to the nearest ship and get us the hell out of here.
I've never heard of this Super Grover.
What are you talking about? What? How do you not know Super Grover?
Plus, if you get annoyed by him...
Super Grover!
If you get annoyed by him, you could just say, show me near and far again.
Right.
I think Super Joe is just offended by somebody else be calling Super.
Yeah, it's possible. That's entirely possible. 302-9170-200 texters or phone calls. Jeff Morrow, the Sandwich King, coming up 720 WGN.
I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who do you think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jeff Morrow's here, the Sandwich King. You don't get that title lightly. Super Joe, why is Jeff called the Sandwich King?
Because he makes awesome sandwiches?
That would be the reason.
Wow.
Would you say they're the best sandwiches, Super Joe?
I would say that they are by far the best sandwiches.
Do you think the reason why the Sandwich King does our show instead of John Williams is because there can't be two kings in one room?
I think that's possible.
Yeah.
Also because we're the thump. Jeff, how you been?
I'm doing great, Steve. Good to be back here.
Nice to see you again. Pork and Mindy's. Yes. Huge, huge, huger than ever?
Huger than ever. The hugest possible at this point in
getting
time.
Getting even huger.
It's like the hugeation has been exponential.
It's a huge explosion is what I'm talking about.
It is. It's a huge avalanche all over myself. I can't even get up in the morning anymore.
And what are you doing with Mariano's?
We are opening what we have dubbed Grocerants, which is a hybrid of restaurants.
Oh.
Inside a grocery store.
Wouldn't it be great if we spoke English during this interview?
We're getting there slowly. So we will be unveiling Pork and Mindy's full service locations, our full menu, our great sandwiches, smothered tots, pit bulls, smoked meats, all this stuff.
In store?
In store that we run, we brand as ourselves. We just happen to be living inside of Mariano's. But
how many of these are you going to do?
28 by the end of the year.
No kidding.
Today we're opening in Park Ridge right on Higgins and Cumberland there. So I'll be going there after the spot after this. They're just packing me up today. We opened in Bronzeville this weekend. And then people ask me which ones. I mean, there's 30-something Mariano's across the Chicago area.
Everybody wants to be able to eat something that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Basically good for them.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily come from a drive-thru. So you go, you kill the grocery list, and you go, I got dinner covered, man. Right.
You go
here.
Grab, and that's
or lunch.
The lunch is obviously our sandwich is great. We have these beautiful pit bulls now over a bed of cauliflower rice. All the vegetables, smoked meats, pickled vegetables, everything we make. But I think the most fun about creating this space was the grab and go. You know, we're transcending just the regular, God knows how old, rotisserie chicken that's it. So that I love. You know, it's got a special place in my heart, you know. Where it's been sitting there so long, sometimes you can eat majority of the bones in it, which I do love a good chicken bone.
Yeah.
But we're doing brinjal. We're doing Peruvian smoked chicken. We're doing meatloaf. These are all there right now in these two locations to go grab. Slabs of ribs, half slabs, quarter chickens.
But you don't mess around with that stuff. How do you know you got the right cook in these places?
Well, because we've trained them all, and we've grown to this point and gone through a lot over the last 3.5-4 years.
Quality control is a big deal.
It's all about quality control. And we've been everywhere from Wrigley Field, to Bucktown, to Denver, to Minneapolis. So we know how to do this, and we have great operating partners.
So if we go grab and go, how fresh is it?
It'll be fresh. I mean, 2 hours, depending on the turf. The more you guys grab and go, the fresher it'll be.
Right? My family would not eat if grab and go didn't exist at stores. And so the fact that I'll be able to get their ribs, pork and mini ribs for Pat on a regular basis is a life changer in our house.
And here's the deal. Today in Park Ridge, you told me this.
Yes.
What is it?
They're having a rib cutting ceremony.
As opposed to a ribbon cutting?
How about that?
You knucklehead.
You get it. And we actually have a giant set of scissors. I mean, huge. They got to weigh 35 pounds. And we cut through our slab of ribs.
See, I pictured,
and it's not
like,
easy because these are really smoked ribs. They got some tooth, you know, they're not
they're
like gummy
back.
Fall off the bone. They're real style. We smoke them in house.
See, I pictured like a Flintstone slab of ribs from the top of Fred's car, like a big old slab.
That would be great. We couldn't fit it through the door, unfortunately.
Right, right, right. So are you going to be operating the 35-pound scissors?
I did last time. No, actually, I think I get, in Bronzeville, it was the president of Mariano's who got the honor. Who might argue with that guy?
Yeah, you can't.
He was in
really...
a suit. I look like a jamoke from the, you know, right off the block.
I see you're in a chef coat right
yes,
now.
Yes, I am. It's just, it's under here is a...
The Sherpa lining? Is that the chef part?
The no. Sherpa lining. That's faux Sherpa.
Faux Sherpa.
How dare you? I care about the...
Now,
but the leather is real.
In the Mariano's, the layouts of the different stores, are you in the front of every store, or where are you?
Yeah, like right when you walk in, for the most part, you know, you walk in, you start going to all where the hot food sections, the deli, all the cases are. So we're right there. But people ask, like, where are you going to be? Which ones? If there's a Todd's Barbecue in your Mariano's, your local Mariano's, we are taking over that Todd's Barbecue.
Okay.
So that's, you know, good. And there's some down the future that will be built out to suit and in Wisconsin as well, and some of the
I was going to say, how do we find out? Because I know the Mariano's that's close to us, and I would, you know.
Which one is that?
Elmhurst?
Yeah, we are opening in Elmhurst. I'm not sure. We have different phases. Like, you know, each quarter we'll open.
Sure. Remind people how you got in this business.
Oh, my God. It's so long. I was always, you know, I always cooked to eat, I like to say, you know, is to make my money. But I always performed, you know, from theater to Second City to stand-up to any way I can from the time I was in third grade. And, you know, I never really made money at that. So I would, you know, I went to culinary school, worked in restaurants, delis, everything. So I had these two loves. And how do I
Well, you on Pork and Mindy's?
Pork and Mindy's is... After I won Food Network Star, you know, I talked to a lot of people. My television career's popping, and people are like, let's open a restaurant, your first real restaurant. And I talked to people, and my partner, Kevin Corsello, came to me with this great idea, this quirky name that reflected my whimsical personality, and the fact that there's really not this space for fast casual creative barbecue, and that's what we've called ourselves. We're beyond just a plate of meat and slaw and beans. I love it. It's one of my favorite ways to eat.
Well, and imagine the mistakes you could have made if you picked another 70s show, like Welcome Back, Porker.
We got to cease and desist.
Laverne and Porky.
Ooh, that's
you know, that's not a great one either.
Our newsman wants to know if you're going to be opening in Ravenswood.
Yes.
Well, there you go, Steve.
Ravenswood will happen. I believe so. Don't quote me on that. Some of the publicist behind me is daggers into the back of my neck.
Listen,
but,
I'm
pretty sure it's Ravenswood.
Say it. You can correct it later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Get the people
exactly
excited
right.
regardless.
What's going on with TV? What do you got coming up?
I just shot our 21st season of The Kitchen last week.
21st?
Wow. Bucolic, New Jersey.
Wow.
So we just keep rolling with that. We do 52 a year and... You know,
how long do you think you do 52? You do many a day.
We do two a day.
Okay.
So we do four or five.
Okay.
Unless it's a two-hour, we do two-hour specials now about a dozen times a year, and that just takes one day.
That's crazy.
I know. It's awesome. I just came back from Nashville this week. I shot Trisha Yearwood's show and got to...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She gave me a cowboy hat.
Show.
We went to the... like the country venue that she got her first record contract with in the 80s, and we sang a song together. She gifted me Garth Brooks' guitar last year.
What?
Garth gifted me his guitar, sent it to me.
Wow.
So I imported it to Nashville this week and played on stage. I mean, this is like what literally making
Did
sandwiches
you guys
has
cook
got
though?
Me. Yeah, we cooked it in her kitchen.
How much butter did you use? I love her recipe.
Oh, my God, so much. We made, like, these pecan rolls using puff pastry slathered in bacon and butter. It was good.
She sends out for extra
butter. So much butter, though.
Yeah, she's a butter.
It's funny that you said that. It was dripping down my... There was so much butter. It was literally elbow deep in butter.
But you stay in good shape. What do you do?
I eat less and work out more. How about that?
Yeah, that's a great program. I'm on it, too.
I do a lot of hot yoga, believe it or not. People don't believe that. I'm fairly limber for being a large fella.
Like Bikram or Vinyasa?
Bikram, Vinyasa, all hot power flow type stuff.
You know,
a lot
your
with
neighborhood
core power.
Just went out the window.
I know it did. But I don't care. I feel good and I look better on screen. That's the beauty of The Kitchen is that every week it's a new episode. So if I am looking a little portly, you know, I had like a bad couple weeks during that filming cycle, I get to, you know, turn it down a little
bit.
Tune it up.
Plus, you're always around heat, so you're sweating out all the bad stuff.
It's so true. Yeah. But it's good. It's you know what? It's the first couple years, if you look, if you Google some choice pictures of me from the beginning of this career, you could see it wasn't always this
Isn't
easy,
it great
you know?
That those pictures live forever?
It's great. It's thank fantastic. God I didn't have a smartphone in college or high
that's
school.
That's fantastic.
Man alive.
Super Joe, nobody's a bigger fan of the Sandwich King than you. Do you get the last question? Anything you want to know?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Jeff. The last time I talked to you, you gave me an excellent taco recommendation. I was wondering if you got any recommendations lingering, you know, that you'd like to talk about.
For tacos or what kind of food?
You know, I love tacos, but if there's something else that you got a taste for, that would be good too.
What have I had? I'm so into right now is Tempesta Market. Which is our neighbor at Well Street Market here, where we have Pork and Mindy's location.
That's an eating heaven, the Well Street
it
Market.
It is, and it's so much fun. It's hard to go there because I don't eat my own food. I eat like you know ramen and Italian subs, but at the same time. But we the location on Grand, like their Dante Italian sub with their pickled eggplant dish, to me with a cold Peroni beer is like the greatest thing right now.
It's the closest you can get to Pork and Mindy's.
Exactly. I mean, hey, listen, I'm not egotistical to the point where I'm not going to give shouts out to my brothers out there doing great work. There's a lot of food in the world and a lot of great food in the city. And I just came back from New York. I was there, you know, two times in the last half a week, and food's so much better here.
Yeah, congrats on escaping.
Hey, I made it out.
Yeah, again, a city that folds its pizza can't completely be trusted.
How do you even, wake up in the morning knowing that you have to fold pizza to get it in your mouth to make it palatable?
Yeah, that'd
be a
shame.
And you know what they
do?
I argue with my co-hosts all the time about this, especially when I reverse engineered a Lou Malnati style deep dish pizza on the kitchen, and it took me months of breaking it down and testing. I got it. I believe I got it. And my co-hosts wouldn't even take a bite. They're so hard up on
New York style
pizza.
Have another pizza box because that's what you're eating.
You know what? It sits out at room temperature like all day, and then they reheat it.
Come on,
they microwave your pizza, and then the varmint and the flies land on it all day.
It's like I was telling
you know what I'm talking about.
Well, when I used to work in New York, every spring they change the hot dog water.
Right,
one time the entire year.
It's so viscous. Yeah. It's like the waters like when you drain beans out of a can. Yeah. That's what they.
That's
just
another Lollapalooza band.
Drained beans. Viscous water.
Where can we follow you?
Everywhere.
Social media.
Jeff Morrow at Jeff Morrow on
Instagram.
Sorry,
the career's not working out for
you. We got more stuff coming up that I can't even. Oh, we're opening in Elmwood Park, too. That just got press released today.
A second ago.
Right, a second ago. Yes. It did. It was about an hour ago.
Your publicist is great, man. I know. Be nice to her. She's tremendous.
I didn't want to drown the Mariano.
She's tremendous.
That's the problem. But yeah, we're opening on North Avenue between Johnny's and Alpine.
All right.
Rooftop bar, everything summer. So it's very exciting, right in my backyard.
Jeff's
what I'm talking about. He's got a good life. Didn't he have a good life? Jeff's got a good life. Good to see you, man.
I'm happy.
Thanks for coming over.
Always a pleasure.
CLTV time. Hi to everybody there, and we'll come back with the news in a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
917, the world famous, no pressure, Cheryl Jackson's here, creator of Grit and Grace Day. And, you never stop working. You're all over. You're doing stuff all the time. But tell people how Grit and Grace Day came about.
Thank you, Steve, for having me on
the
show.
Nice to see you.
And I love being introduced as, you know.
World famous.
World famous.
Yeah.
Powerful. So that always works for me.
Unstoppable.
All that.
Yeah.
Grit and Grace came about from a personal life crisis. I was diagnosed with breast cancer and going through a divorce at the same time.
Good God.
It was a lot. Didn't expect either. What I learned from that, the gift that came out of that really dark moment, was a simple one. The power of practicing grace with yourself. You know, I've always been a fighter. You look at my career. And I've been a trailblazer and been very blessed at these opportunities to be the first or the only or all of that. And there's, you know, unfortunately, we're still doing first and onlys. But I had those opportunities, and so I know a lot about fighting. What I did not know enough about was the power of practicing grace with yourself. So that's self-compassion, self-care, self-acceptance.
So grit is being strong enough.
Your fight
to have the grace to say thank you.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah,
you got quite a lineup, by the way.
It is, and these powerful women are coming on not only to talk about their ambition and how they reach the highest heights, but they're there. Particularly Mary Dillon said this message around grace is really personal and important for her. So we have these powerful women that will be joining us talking about their grit, but also how they practice grace with themselves and how it powers their performance and ambitions.
Mary Dillon's the CEO of Alta, one of the most successful companies in America. Cheryl Burton, our friend Cheryl from ABC7. Julia Stratton, Illinois Lieutenant Governor. Lauren Underwood, one of the up-and-coming superstars in Congress. And Cheryl Jackson, obviously, you're going to talk to the folks as well. When's it happen?
It's happening on Friday, this Friday, March 22nd, in the South Loop. We are expecting over 400 women. I planned
nice.
300. So I think we sold out last night. So
that's excellent.
It's great, and I think it's that message around, you know, grace along with your grit.
Up until recently, you know, in the last few years, that was not something women were allowed to admit or empower themselves with. The as you said, self-care, or, you know, admitting that to make yourself powerful, you had to take care of yourself. For some reason, we must imply that men aren't doing that, and so we want to be perceived as strong like man. So, but it actually makes you stronger to
Absolutely.
Recognize that part.
Absolutely.
And so the day is... Actually, when I saw the day, it almost was overwhelming. It's like there's all these powerful women, and they're going to teach you these people, you know, all these things. And like, can you take all that in that kind of setting? Do you like, how do you make it more digestible?
Right, it's a lot. It's an action-packed day. It's not just the speakers; it's the master classes that we're teaching on career, you know, advancing, owning your success in the workplace, how you do that.
Entrepreneurship, advocacy, dealing with politics, self-care.
Politics, deal-making for women in particular. So it's a lot in that day, but the good news is two things. One, we are going to have coaches on site for one-on-one consultations. And then following the event, women will have access to these coaches. That's the other thing that I've learned through my career is that getting a coach is much like pulling the winning lottery ticket. You get a coach after you've made it to the C-suite. When do you need a coach? Every step of the way so that you can make it to the C-suite. But it's often too expensive. You don't know who to trust. So I've kind of vetted and pulled together a cadre of group of coaches and, asked them for the God bless you rate,
Well, they want to be a part of it.
Yeah, they want to be. And actually, they're giving their services free and at this event. And then we created this, I call it G2 Coach program where you can connect with coaches for small amounts of money, these high quality coaches. So that's important. So I'm excited about that not only we're inspiring women for the day, but we're following them home and back to their offices with a resource.
That's important because a lot of times you do something like that, like a day, and you're like, everything's changed and I feel great. And then you're like, when you get home, you're almost like frozen as to how to then
what do I do
proceed.
Now?
Yeah. So the follow up with the coaches is a key.
Yeah. You're giving them a roadmap. You know, your TED Talk was the fire up for this, right?
It was a fire up. I gave a TED Talk actually a year ago to the
like
date
right
almost.
About now.
Yes, it's so odd. I never would have thought standing on that stage giving a TED Talk I'd be here, but I gave the TED Talk about my not only my trajectory in my career, but also the life crisis. And so I put it all out there. It was a very nerve-wracking experience.
Wasn't it emotional?
Very emotional. As I was writing, preparing for the TED Talk, I just unearthed all of these emotions.
That's
around.
Probably good for you.
It was very cathartic. It was rough, but it was cathartic. And I was nervous about exposing my personal life like that. But
sure.
what happened was it connected with so many women. And that's what inspired me to do the actual day, because everybody's got a story. And creating a space to say it's okay to be vulnerable in this space, and there's strength in that. And
how's your health now? You look fabulous.
I am great. I'm 5 years, so past the diagnosis, so I'm excited.
You get the rare sitting ovation.
Oh, thank you, everyone. I really am so grateful for my health. I'm so much more aware of how common breast cancer is. It's way too common.
You obviously caught it in time because you were paying attention.
I was paying attention to my body. So for women,
self-checks and things like
self-checks, could be not only be aware of your body, but be a strong advocate for yourself.
Sure.
So I was told for a while, oh, it's nothing. I had to keep going back and saying, it's kind of something here, and it's brought friends. So that self-advocacy, whether it's your health or whether it's in the workplace or at home with your friends, is so important to having the life that you...
When you're going through the nightmare of a divorce you didn't see coming and this, mm-hmm. who'd you lean on? Did you have anybody to help?
I'm a woman of faith. Mm-hmm.
Lean on God, of course.
Yeah,
right?
Lean on God. My mother and my sister. Sometimes your world has to go really small before
sure.
it can go big again. My world at that point was so tiny. It was my mother and my sister and my best friend.
People that love you most.
People I love most. People that love me the most.
Right.
Yes, that was the thing.
It's a good message.
Yes, people that love me the most is who I leaned on.
Yeah,
so,
and the people that know you the best.
And know me the best and give you the space for you to focus on you. So so I'm really fortunate about that. But just spreading this message of grace is what's near and dear to my heart. Because the fighter in me, I was out of fight when facing cancer and divorce at the same time. I was clean out of fight. It wasn't the fighter in me that saved me. What saved me was the power of understanding how to take care of myself.
Sure.
So grace. And that's what I wanted. Women, we're so tough on ourselves, and we're having so many pressures of taking care of family and community and having to perform at work when you're, one of few or the only. That's a lot of pressure. That's emotionally stressful, mentally stressful. And so, giving yourself the space to take care of yourself in the midst of all of that is so vital. You have a lot of people talking to you about what you need to do to improve your skills,
mm-hmm.
Get more skills to drive your ambition, but not enough discussion around how to take care of yourself. So that's what I'm doing.
If you get the 400 women that are going to be there, if they take anything out of this, you would love it if it was that.
Yes, I would love it if it was...
Be good to yourself.
Be good to yourself. Pursue your ambitions. Have ambitions. Pursue your goals. But practice grace along with that grit.
Along the lines of what you're saying about oftentimes you're the only female, and mm-hmm. that makes it harder. That's what we've said when we've had Rebecca Sive in here
mm-hmm.
about when we're ready for a female president. Because they have done the work, and more than likely they've done more work because it was harder because they were the only one and they had no advocacy around them, so they had to work double.
They have to work double, and that muscle in you is so strong because you're having to work double hard under a lot of stress and obstacles. So that muscle is very well honed and developed. The muscle of grace is atrophied because right. You just haven't practiced it. You're so focused on fighting and winning against all odds, and we need that. But I guess the point is that in order to achieve that level of success against all odds, to achieve it and to sustain it, particularly to sustain it, you have to be able to practice grace with yourself. You have to put that oxygen mask on yourself first.
Well, that's why I have such faith in the next generation. I mean, there's a lot of ways to knock millennials, but the labels are falling off. The things that... I'm 58 years old, and my generation of folks, and Dave, your generation of folks,
mm-hmm.
the labels were always easy. We got to stop thinking we need the first female president.
Yes.
We need the next woman to come along who just happens to be the best person for the job. We got to stop talking about black people and white people in categories that just limit everything in the discussion.
Yeah, we need to... it would be... it's going to be wonderful, not will be. It will be wonderful when we get to equality.
You got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting. And it's unfair for women, but the fight goes on, right? That's a big part of what this day is.
It is. And we know that we have to fight with our life existence, but Friday is about, while you're in the fight, this is what you need to do for you. And this is what it means to take care of yourself at work. This is what it means to take care of yourself in the causes that fighting for the causes you care about, running for office, and how you need to do both, pursue just as aggressively your grace, being a grace practitioner, as you do practicing your grit and fighting to win.
You're an inspiring woman.
Well, thank you. I'm your inspiring person and show. I'm a big fan for years.
I appreciate you coming over because we want to give voice to this stuff. And when Sandberg said that this is somebody we got to do, I said, well, of course. One, because she's right, and two, because I'm afraid of her.
Well, you're afraid of me. Wait a minute.
No, of Sandberg.
Of me.
Yes. Of you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would like to put it back in. But no, we've got the day. We're sold out, but...
Are you gonna record it? Are people gonna be able to get it?
We're gonna record it, and also the big takeaway out of that are these coaches. And so, if people want to learn more about that, they should go to my website, CherylJackson.com. That's CHERYLE Jackson.com to learn. Not only I'm going to record it and we'll post the sessions online, but also these coaches, because everyone, whether you're there at the event or not, everyone, and particularly women, could use that.
Keep changing the world.
Thank you.
You're always welcome here. You know that.
Yes, appreciate that.
It's 9:29. Let's come back, get your headlines next on 720 WGM. All right, so Jeff Morrow, the Sandwich King, is at Channel 9 right now, and he's made... look up, Sandberg.
Okay.
He's making food.
Right. Yeah, now wait a minute. We got nothing.
We just gave him 20 minutes here. He didn't make us a thing.
We got a big old goose egg.
Yeah, you know what's funny is when I asked him, what are you going to be doing at TV? He said, you know, just running around with Pat Tomasulo.
They're making lunch.
Yeah, they've got a full rack of ribs out there.
Yeah,
bacon.
They're giving the security guard.
Well, that's our favorite security guard.
Yeah, they're giving him
ribs.
Yeah,
she's great.
Maybe that's Pat's food.
Oh, they're giving people free food as they walk in.
As people as they walk in the door. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Boy, we were so
outrageous. First, he's late for the interview.
Right.
And then second, he doesn't bring food.
I know.
Yeah, there's so much of it, that guy just turned more down. He just turned away more.
It's outrageous. Just outrageous.
Don't disrespect the king. Come on.
It's outrageous.
They're literally, Pat Tomasulo is
I don't know why Pat is feeding people, you know, by hand. They're not birds.
Look at that guy as a vegetarian. I bet he's waving off.
Well, he's actually a woman, but that's okay.
So the name of his restaurant is Pork and Disappointment?
Yeah, Pork and Disappointment and Dread.
Except for he does the hot yoga, so I'm a fan. I love sandwiches and hot yoga. So
you think he sweats barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Do you think he makes the ribs at hot yoga?
I feel like we got scammed.
That's smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen on a Rogue Con show.
Steve, they were going to bring you food, but they heard you dropped all the pizza, and so...
Yeah, oh, God. Ro doesn't even know about that.
She's got a good point.
Yeah, there would have been sauce everywhere. Yes.
Ro, are you with me?
I'm with you.
So, what's that about? What's with the attitude?
Yeah, boy.
What do you mean, what's with the attitude?
Did you just wake
Who's
up?
Who's got an attitude?
Well, you have an attitude.
I have a cold.
Oh, stop whining.
No. I hate that.
Oh, no.
You wake up and you're like, the whole thing, it's bad.
I had a,
I might be near death.
I had a death cold for 24 days. I didn't bring it up once on the air. Oh,
man. You guys share a microphone, and I know that you got it from Steve.
I didn't say one thing about it. So yesterday, after the bye-bye Stephanie shindig, that you bailed on because you were hanging out with your friend Emilio Estevez and you never really liked Stephanie. Remember how that went down that way?
It did exactly go down like that.
Yeah. So I grab a couple of slices of pizza and head for the car because, you know, I'm antisocial. And I get in the elevator and the elevator stops on 14. I'm carrying the pizza on a plate, on a folder. And as the elevator opens, I move to the side.
The secure plate on top as a lid.
Yes.
You know.
and I move to the side, and the folder collapses. The pizza explodes on the door. The splatter pattern looked like OJ's murder scene. I mean, it was all over the place. And last I remember was when I finally got in the parking garage elevator, looking back through the glass doors and seeing people incredibly disappointed as the elevator opened on one, going, "Oh my God, what happened here?"
It's amazing. And then you have to, gets bigger and bigger every
time. Did you point at someone else at that point? Well, and then do that thing where you point, you like go, and then you put hunch your shoulders like, "I don't know. Who would bring a pizza on it like this?"
I did the right thing. I went to the security guards and I said, somebody really messed up that elevator. And somebody needs to get on it.
Let me ask you a question. Did the security guards go, "Where are the elevators?"
Now, the security guard said, "Which one?" And I go, the one I saw. I don't know. There's five of them. But I played elevator roulette on 18. I came back up to 18 to get paper towels to clean it. I waited for three different elevator cars to come, hoping that one would open so I could at least do the right thing and clean up the what I couldn't clean up before. After three, I gave up and I went home.
There's often confusion down there when we will sometimes have guests arrive and we're going to WGN radio. That's what the guest will say. Mm-hmm. And then the security guards will go through a three-ring binder trying to figure out where WGN radio is, and then we'll stop and go, "It's not there." Now, what's really funny is
we're only radio station in the building, and we're on 18.
And there's a gigantic, like, full wall screen, like multiple screen, full wall screen of us on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're across from the security desk, and they're still going through the three ring banner. "I'm sorry, sir. I don't see any." What'd you say? W what again?
I think there's the Trib Tower. Yeah,
so it's really kind of a funny deal, but good. Well, I hope it's cleaned up by the time I get in because I don't need that.
No, you really don't.
Hey,
what are you hearing about the river? Because it's still green.
That there's always a half life. It's going to be.
It's never lasted this long.
No, it has.
No, it hasn't.
We just weren't staring at it like you're staring.
No, I'm telling you, it's never lasted this long.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. I love when they do it. And when you see it, the day they do it on Saturday, it is the craziest green. It's not like a Kelly green. It's a fluorescent.
Right.
It's like that color that was very hot in golf balls for a while.
It's the greenest green you could ever imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's trippy is what it is. And then after a while, like Saturday night, still kind of that green. Sunday starts turning a little bit. Now we're in the, 5 days on, we are in the gray, brown green, which is not good.
Yeah, and the intern, whoever they used to throw the dye in, screwed up. Used the wrong color.
Not an intern, my friend. Not an intern.
Somebody screwed up.
Hey. It's the local plumbers union, my friend.
Well, somebody screwed up because it's never been greener. More green.
I'm not going to say another word about it.
What, are you afraid you're going to get whacked?
No, I'm just saying these are my friends over at the plumbers
union. Well, I like the plumbers union, too. It doesn't mean they didn't screw up.
I think whatever they did was perfect. Just remember that.
We had the plumbers union queen, Maddie, in, and she was delightful.
Yeah, she was delightful. Rose worried about a backed up toilet and nobody coming to his house.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
911.com, by the way.
All right, what are you doing on your show today?
All right, well, we've got many things to figure out. There was a strange police incident that we're trying to get more details on about a crowd that menaced police officers. There was a scanner report of this called in. There's an investigation. It's very, very, very weird, and it's unsettling because.
Are you telling a real story or is this a plot?
No. It's a novel I'm writing.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's what I'm doing. I'm working on this novel. It starts with a couple of hardworking cops at the end of their shift. You know, traffic stop, and next thing you know, the community turns on them, and then they have to figure out what the social ramifications are. No, it really happened. There was a police scanners, and police are being sort of mum about it, and we're trying to get some detail on what happened there because it's a pretty crazy story where they were threatened with weaponry.
Oh.
And by a very large crowd.
Well, that's a big story, but it's not nearly as big as your cover-up of the green that's still floating down the river. I mean...
I'm just going to say something right now. I hope that next year they allow the St. Patrick's Day Queen to appear on your show. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's going to cut us off.
Right. After everything that... that we have done for the Plumbers Union and for the beauty that they bring to the Chicago skyline by turning the river green, and now you're making it bad, Steve Cochran.
No, I just want it to be back to its regular color, which is light brown.
What is so great about the regular color?
Well, it's light brown. I miss it.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's poo brown is what it is.
And I miss it. I like what I like. So...
Yeah, fecal grease balls and poo brown. That's all you see in the river.
Oh, so you saw the Lollapalooza lineup because fecal grease balls they are playing. Yeah, they're playing this year. Another texter says Lollapalooza banned the exploding pizzas, and yet a third texter says Ro didn't come into the show today because he's afraid you're going to spill pizza on him.
Yep.
Oh, I like that. Yes, so. I'm allergic to hot sauce. Another band that's going to be there.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Why are we not talking about our weekend together?
Yes, our weekend together. This weekend, we will be live in Arizona.
You better hope, Steve, that Roe is better, because if you're in the weekend in Arizona with him with a cold, it'll be
it's gonna be really bad.
Whiny,
oh, my God.
Bitchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God.
I'm doing the whole thing with the nasal spray right now. Ugh. Like, and I'm a whole deal. Oh, on the
plane. Can just see you on the golf course going, hey, like Tony Randall from The Odd Couple.
Even worse, on the plane. Excuse me, and hitting the button for the stewardess. Nurse, are we at altitude? I'm feeling some pressure.
Did you catch that? He said stewardess in 2019.
I know.
Hey, listen, I didn't call her nurse. Hey, we are going to be there this weekend, and Kevin and I got an incredibly detailed folder.
Yeah.
Of information.
I spilled pizza on mine.
Right, from Marlene, who put together this amazing thing for all of our travel. The only problem is nobody from the programming department put in our work schedule. So I don't know where to be and when to be there.
No, I have no idea.
This is a way of sending an electronic memo over to the programming department that we need to, because we're going to be on the air on Saturday and Sunday, right?
We have no possible way to get a hold of programming. I mean, since Stephanie left, there's nobody in charge anymore.
You're doing two broadcasts Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, we're doing two shows.
Golf.
Yeah, we're playing golf three times.
This is an exhaustive trip.
We're playing golf three times. We're doing
three shows.
And we're
going to be with and we also have a client event on Saturday night, and I pray to God the plumbers are there. So Steve will be forced in the Arizona desert to get on his knees and bark like the dog that he is.
312 texter says, hey, Ro, it's flight attendant, dumbass.
All right, whatever. Well, the flight attendants can be really annoyed by me. I'm going to get plastic handcuffed because I've got a cold. That's what's going
to
happen.
Are you sitting next to Steve on the way out there?
No, we're taking separate planes. Oh. We can't get along.
Okay.
Your name at the at the hotel registry, is it still under fecal grease balls?
Yeah, fecal grease balls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, now, here's the weird part. I always any hotel I'm at, I always register under Gary Meyer. Strange. I don't know. It's just something I feel like doing.
You don't get a better room because there's always a search for a better room when you're, you know, registered under that name.
Apparently, the place we're staying, you have to take transportation to and from your room.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's spread out quite a ways.
Spread out.
Yeah. So.
Now, is Mr. Ennett flying with you?
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's in coach, right?
You're bringing Kevin.
Yes, Kevin Powell.
Yes.
Now, is that the same seating arrangement, Ro, that you just called Steve and Dave out for?
Oh, no, no, no.
Do you know Ro bumped Kevin up to first class?
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah. I don't know if he did. I don't know if he did or didn't, but I just laid it out, didn't I? See Kevin, listening right now.
That's great.
I can't believe that.
Guy doesn't know my last name, but he bumped me up.
Kevin's driving in going, I've never been in first class. This is so cool. Hey, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
All right, man, I'll talk to you later.
All right, see
you. That's Rocon.
P-I-T-T-A, give me pizza. P-I-T-T-A, now we're feeling kind of hungry. We got the Mega Munchies, time to make our pizza. As big as some countries. How much pizza do you think we can chow? More than our parents would ever allow. We're gonna make a masterpiece of pizza. A work of art like the Mona Lisa. Pizza! Pizza! P-I-Z-Z-A! Give me pizza!
It's 9:57. Oscar, the 14th floor guy, is back. Yes, Oscar, can I help you? Thanks for bailing me out yesterday.
Anytime, Steve Pizza Cochran. I want to know if you want to do lunch again today in the elevator. I'll be coming down. I've got a meeting. It should be over at about 10:20 on 16. So if we coordinate that,
yeah,
what do you say?
Sounds good. I'll see you then. I like that guy.
I like that.
Something
guy.
Wrong with him, but I like him. I like 14th floor guy. He's a new character on the show.
Good.
John, we will give people details on karaoke in the next few days.
Yeah, karaoke coming up the first week of April.
Yeah, we're going to get the rules figured out as soon as we do. And then we'll lay it out in specifics.
I got it figured out, but we'll tell them later.
But essentially, you're going to go to the finalist place of business and sing with them in their car in their parking lot.
Yeah, we're going to videotape them in their car. So I pick a winner each week. I go out there.
Mm-hmm.
I get to sit with them in their car, and then we'll videotape them, and then I choose the winner.
And then James Corden will steal that.
James Corden will take that.
Hey, Bill and Wendy are here, so let's play one more round of What the Hell is John Humming? John hums famous TV songs, and you have to guess what they are.
But he doesn't. But technically, he doesn't hum them.
No.
Technically, but it's better. Yeah. I think it's better the way you do it, John.
We were going to do along with John.
Oh.
Sort of mumble along with John. The humming just sounds right.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
Ba da 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 dee 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 dee. Ba da 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 da.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
Three's Company.
It's the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Mary Tyler Moore, yes. Yes.
You can't stump Bill.
I know.
Really Bill would be I got Mannix on the second note, by the way. Yeah.
That's that was scary. Really good.
Because it's got so much jolt to it.
But Wendy, have you ever seen a pop culture thing that he doesn't know?
Bill? No.
No.
I know. He's amazing.
And it's all junk knowledge.
It's useless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's proud of it.
Very proud. Ask me anything important. Anything.
What was Millie's last name on the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Vanilli.
Millie Vanilli Helper?
It was Helper.
Yeah. Somebody dubbed all of her lines. You know that?
That's right.
Wow. We took that down the road. Hey, let's come back and do this tomorrow and see if we can fix it. Here's Wendy.